If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
6:09, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran this week. Remember, Steve's going to be back on Monday doing the pregame for the Blackhawks Winter Classic as they take on the Blues on Monday. What time's that game, Carm? 11 o'clock?
Good question, Pete.
How do you keep forgetting to turn on your microphone this week?
I'm just not used to this. It's a great question by you. And I'm gonna vow that for the rest of this time that we have together, it will never happen again to you. But
good stall tactic.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's right. You know, this game on Monday, first of all, may not happen, right? We're aware that there's significant rain in the forecast, and it could be rained out.
What?
No.
Yeah, we're going with the old rain out down in St. Louis. That's
really?
I haven't heard that.
Because, wait, it's not going to be cold enough?
Right.
To have the hockey game?
To play hockey, you need ice. That is a key component.
Well, of course.
Well, isn't there something underneath that keeps it frozen?
Keeps it cold, but if it rains, it becomes very slushy and it goes away. I didn't realize it was going to be a rain out.
Yes, it's a new...
Possibly.
It's a new puck drop on if it doesn't rain.
Okay. So Steve will be on from 9 to noon with Dave Bennett.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll be on no matter what, whether there's a game or not.
Yes.
Okay.
And then there could be rain delay theater on 720 WGN from noon to 3.
I can stay. Whatever they need.
See, there you go.
We can fill.
There you go.
You guys should.
Is anybody working Monday besides me?
I'm off. Sorry, Pete.
Interesting.
I'm off, too.
Schwann, you're off?
Schwann's off.
I'm off.
Come on, man.
Sorry.
Susan? I'm off, too.
Oh, Pete, you're the only one here.
Well, I'm the new guy. I'm the new old guy. Right. The old new guy. That's it. I'm the old new guy. Okay.
We'll be here with you in spirit.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So that means Andy Mazur will be here and somebody else doing... sidecar. Okay, we'll figure this out. Stories that we're following. The plastic bag ban has been lifted. I always forget my bags when I go to Jewel. Always. Every single time. Now, if you forget a bag, they're going to charge you 7 cents per bag.
It's a rip-off.
Regardless.
Yep.
Oh, that's going to drive me crazy. That's going to add up.
It's only been lifted till February. So it's not going to go into effect at the beginning of the year. They're going to wait a month.
Okay.
I know. It's ridiculous.
So I got to keep bags in my trunk.
Yeah, keep the bags in your trunk.
Just in case.
Which, you know what's so weird? Remember when they switched from the paper to the plastic years ago? Or you got the option, paper or plastic, when you went to the grocery store.
Right.
Then they switched from the plastic to these heavy plastic ones.
Yep.
To me, that's just like a plastic bag.
It is. It's the same thing.
I know it's made differently, but the big concern was, you know, they're hanging on the trees.
I thought that was the huge concern. That's why they didn't want to bring them back. Now they're going to tax. What's the tax for? Where does it go?
Into the city coffers.
And then
it
doesn't go to clean up the city with all these plastic bags blowing around. Am I right?
Yeah, no, it goes. I don't think that's what it's allotted for, but it goes into the city coffers for something, whether it's, funding for new police body cameras or whatever it might be.
Okay. Plastic bags are back.
Shouldn't we all be better? Shouldn't we go to the grocery store prepared and have our bags and we can
I never am. I got to keep bags in my trunk now. That's another thing.
But this is an opportunity for you to be better at life, Pete. You're contributing to the greater good. I mean, look at what's right in front of you.
I'm going
to
tell you right now, my wife, she is so organized and type A. She will never bring a bag to the grocery store. She'll be charged 7 cents each time. It's better than buying the 90, what is that, a 10-cent bag?
The
big 10-cent Jewel bag that you have to buy?
Oh, that's a paper bag, isn't it?
I've never paid for the 10-cent bag.
There's a 10-cent plastic bag, or you can get the paper for free. But now they're going to charge regardless if you forget it.
That's insane.
I mean, how big is your Jewel order? How many bags are we talking here?
Probably 3 bags.
Okay,
I would say
21 cents.
Yeah, but that adds up. You go to the grocery store 5 times a week. Let's do the math here.
Yeah, 5 times a week at 21. That's a buck.
Okay, $1 a week, $52 a year. Add that up over time.
Do you guys drive to different gas stations to save like 5 cents
yes,
a gallon?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I will drive to Gurnee and come back to save the 30 cents.
But you're wasting the gas to get up to Gurnee.
But I'm with myself and I'm spending time and I'm learning.
Oh,
and I didn't. And
it's the principle, right? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I schedule family meetings in the burbs to get gas.
Jeez.
I do take notes on who has the cheapest gas when I'm driving around and when I have to fill up. Of course. Yes, you do that. Don't you do that?
I don't buy gas in the city because it's crazy expensive here. It's at least, 50 cents more. But I don't, if I go to the burbs, to see my mom or my family, I just go to the closest. Yeah,
sure.
I don't go from gas station to gas. I don't go from suburb to suburb trying to find the cheapest gas.
The BP in downtown Highland Park is a rip. You can't go there. That's a terrible play. If you're in the burbs, you got to make a little bit of an effort. Hit up the Thorntons or the Shell Lake Cook. That's a way better move.
Russia says a Syrian ceasefire agreement has been reached with Turkey. Why do I do not trust Russia? What's going on?
I don't think most people at this point do trust Russia. And for Donald Trump yesterday to say, you know what, if he didn't actually admit that the Russians tampered with the U.S. election, I considered it a bit of an acknowledgement because he said, let's just all move forward. You can't move. If Russia tampered with the United States election, no matter who won, if Hillary Clinton was the president-elect, we would be saying this. We should be saying this. If Russia tampered with our election,
imagine,
you can't just pick up and move on.
Imagine if it was the other way, right?
Right.
I mean, it would be there would be a lot of noise, maybe more than there is right now.
President Obama said Russia's going to pay for the cyber attacks with the presidential election, but when and where, what's going to happen? We don't know. He said, they're going to pay. But he hasn't said anything. No follow-up.
Yeah, and Turkey and Russia also agreed on a draft ceasefire in Syria. We'll see how long that lasts, too.
And
this has gone back and forth. Remember Ukraine? This happened with Ukraine, too.
Right. Debbie Reynolds passed away yesterday at the age of 84.
How heartbreaking was that?
Now, my first thought was she always upstaged her daughter. And here she is dying a day after Carrie Fisher dies.
Anybody who hasn't seen Postcards from the Edge has to see this movie now. It's the story of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds' life. Carrie Fisher wrote it's her autobiography, basically.
Right.
It's hysterical. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. But this is funny because, Carrie Fisher was always saying that Debbie Reynolds was upstaging her or trying to upstage her.
Was that your first thought yesterday?
No, mine was more of a heartbreaking. I felt bad. I thought of my mom,
Okay.
Mothers and daughters have that special bond.
But think about it. She's been in her mother's shadow her entire life, trying to break that as a best-selling author and actress. Mm-hmm. And suddenly she passes away and everyone, the outpouring of love. And then the next day, her mother dies.
I know. It's
I don't know.
So sad.
I think people are more sad about Carrie than they are about Debbie if we're going to really get into a competition of death here, which is probably uncomfortable but worthy because that's what you're bringing up, Pete, and I'm with you. I don't, the whole, when you read the story, tragic death, tragic, hold on a second.
Every death is tragic, yeah.
Well, yes, sure, right. But she's 84 years old, or was 84 years old. She lived a phenomenal life as far as just age, period, and she did a million different things. And she obviously, in some way, wanted to be with her daughter, I guess, depending on how you believe things spin once we leave the earth. So isn't that kind of beautiful on some level? I mean, if you could, listen, I'd love to live to 100, but if you told me right now, hey, man, you get to live to 84 and you're going to be pretty healthy the whole way, done.
You're thinking that's a great run.
It's not terrible, right?
Mid-80s is too young nowadays. My mother is 83, still driving to Chicago from Peoria.
Yeah.
Yes.
My dad's 91, and he's doing well, minus a couple snowbanks here and there. But I don't know. It just, there's something.
It's, though? It's sad. There might be a little bit of,
it's
poeticness
sad.
To it.
Tragic is a little heavy for me.
It's sad because she was planning her daughter's funeral. I don't think any parent would ever. That has to be the most horrific thing for a parent at any age to plan their child's funeral. And I guess she was overcome and had a attack, and they said it was a stroke and was that, I think, is the sadness
sure.
to it.
Absolutely.
The circumstances surrounding,
Right.
I don't think the new generation understands how big of a megastar Debbie Reynolds was.
Oh, I know.
Huge. Bigger than huge. And then suddenly, in her humongous stardom, her husband leaves her for her best friend, Elizabeth Taylor.
Right. Another megastar.
Right.
Back in the Hollywood glamour days. the glamour era.
Think about that.
Such a good bombshell back in the day.
Yes.
And how about Carrie Fisher taking that? And that was her. That was the premise of her one-woman show when she was touring.
Was it?
I can't remember the name of it. It was so good. Yeah, and she had like a flow chart. And she would say, all right, pretend this is Angelina Jolie. Or she compared, you know, Brad Pitt to her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then her mom was Jennifer Aniston and Elizabeth Taylor was Angelina Jolie. And she was showing pictures and she had like a pointer. God, I can't think of
that. That's why we love Carrie Fisher, because she just threw it all out there.
She was
This
hilarious.
Is my life, guys. Yep. This is what happens.
Yeah.
And who is Jolie Fisher released a statement yesterday. What is her connection? Is she...
She's Eddie Fisher's daughter with another mother.
Okay.
With another woman.
Boy, Eddie Fisher made the rounds, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, so Carrie Fisher and Jolie Fisher are half-sisters.
Okay, got it.
Or wait, would it be stepsisters? No, half-sisters.
Half.
Right.
619.
That's why I need the flow chart.
Hey, I think it'll work.
Of course.
It's a cinch. You know, it may be crazy, but we're going to do it. The Dooming Cavalier is now a musical.
Hot dog!
Hallelujah!
Fellas, I feel this is my lucky day, March 23rd.
Oh, no, your lucky day is the 24th.
What do you mean the 24th?
It's 1:30 already. It's morning.
Yes, and what a lovely morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning.
720 WGN, Debbie Reynolds and Singing in the Rain. I don't know about you guys, but my mother is an old movie person. Growing up, we needed to watch these movies. She made us watch these movies.
Yeah, my mom did too.
What was it? Frasier Sundays on...
Frasier Thomas?
Frasier Thomas on WGN. What was that called? Family Classics?
Family Classics, yes.
Yes, with the book and the whole deal. Mm-hmm. They had the black and white movies.
Yeah, and the fireplace going.
Yes.
Open the book. Yeah.
You guys had a great upbringing.
No, you didn't ever
I was not forced into any of this. The Muppet Show, that was me.
No, we had to watch the old movies. A lot of Errol Flynn stuff on Sundays on WGN. Absolutely.
Victor Mature and...
Who?
Farley Granger. All those classics. Come on.
I've seen a lot of old movies. Betty Ann likes that stuff. 312-981-7200. Jeff, you had a comment about Debbie Reynolds?
Yeah, about 10 years ago, I got to see her at the Drury Lane Oak Brook Theater. And I had bought front row seats, and I brought my digital camera thinking I could sneak a picture of her. She literally, when she saw me take out my camera, she literally stopped the performance and let me take pictures of her.
You're kidding.
No, I kid you not. And then she came out for the second act in a different dress, and then I got to take other pictures because she said, oh, you got my left side before. Here's my right side.
That's awesome.
So was she singing? Was she dancing? What was she doing?
She was doing everything. She's probably one of my favorite performers. And so for me to get the tickets and to sit in the front row was just phenomenal. So I will miss her immensely.
So she was around 72, 73, 74 years old when you saw her.
Yeah, it was exactly 10 years ago. She was a spitfire.
Really? It's 74, dancing and singing on stage.
She was fantastic.
Man, that's old Hollywood right there.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome. Bye.
Old Hollywood.
I could see her doing that. I mean, knowing kind of what we know about her and her personality and just this mega star.
Definitely.
I could see her stopping the performance and letting him take pictures.
It's way better that way when somebody in the limelight actually likes to be in the limelight and get attention and take pictures than somebody who's just a complete actual introvert but is somehow out there and people want to meet him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have no interest in saying anything to anyone.
Right.
Old Hollywood, Debbie Reynolds could sing and dance, Danny Kaye, Bing Crosby, even Bob Hope, you know.
Yeah, they all, think about that. Yeah, they all sang
right.
very well,
and
too.
And danced.
And danced.
Fred Astaire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ginger Rogers. Yeah.
Ginger Rogers.
Mm. Yes. Sophia Loren.
Oh, yeah. Is she still living?
She is. You know, that's Orion's big crush.
Sophia Loren.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting on that. How many times was Debbie Reynolds married? Three, four?
Three times.
Three times?
99% certain that I read that five times.
Debbie Reynolds was married. Yep. Richard Hamlet, Harry Carlin, and then Eddie Fisher.
And she was on Will and Grace as
she was Grace's
mother.
Mom.
Okay.
Hilarious.
God, I forgot all about that until you brought it up during commercials. Mm-hmm. Debbie Reynolds passed away, stroke yesterday at the age of 84. So are they going to have the funerals together with Carrie, her daughter, and Debbie?
I bet
you would assume yes.
Oh, yeah, I would think they would have to. Don't you?
Think about the Hollywood elite that's going to show up for those funerals.
Big time.
I don't know about all that. The dual funeral, that's crazy. Has that ever happened before?
I'm sure.
In a Hollywood realm, not something, you know.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Boy, that's a good question. Like in a Hollywood setting, has there ever been another mother-daughter or...
Again, Carrie Fisher being overshadowed by her mother, yeah. Even at the funeral. That's rough stuff. It's 6:28, the big story coming up next on 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Let's talk money. The new year means New Year's resolutions. And most of us, our New Year's resolutions to make more money in 2017. Let's bring in a man that can help us with that very question. His newsletter, The World of Money, is in its 20th year. It's Andy Gause. Andy, we all want to make more money in 2017. Is that going to happen? Or are we going to get a raise?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get a raise. The problem is it won't buy as much as it did in 2015 or 2016. So while we'll get more money, it'll just not go as far as it used to.
Why is that?
Inflation, you know, that nasty word. Unfortunately, Mr. Trump didn't come into office with a magic wand. 60% of the nation's debt is due and payable in his first term. So serious demand on the refunding market. And he's going to unleash a tiger, you know. You're going to cut the corporate tax rate to 15%. Jobs will come flooding back. Suddenly, we'll be back at full employment. Factory slack will be gone. And that all leads to higher prices. It's simply a redux of the 1980 period on the opposite side of the scale. So we're at the end of a 30-year secular bond market where interest rates have fallen to their bottom. And now they have to go the other way. So as they do, unfortunately, prices will rise.
So you say that inflation is going to go way up. What does that mean? How far up?
Well, right, from where we are. I mean, it can go a long way. I predict that by next year, this time, we'll be looking at a 6% rate of inflation and a 4% 30-year treasury bond. So probably about a 30% increase in interest rates and, what is that, 140% increase in inflation. Prices will definitely rise in 2017.
Wow. All right. Well, this might negate my question then, Andrew. So remember back in the day of office parties, Christmas parties, holiday parties, end of year bonuses, raises. When will the 2% and the 3% raise go back up at least to something where it's not so laughable?
Yeah, I think by 2017 for sure, especially if you work for a domestic corporation. So understand that the multinationals will not benefit from this as much because a stronger dollar, that will cut their earnings overseas. But if you work for a company that is an American company that does its operations in the United States and whose primary market is the United States, you'll see increased revenues at that firm and hopefully bonuses accordingly. Unfortunately, if you work for a multinational corporation, you may see a little pain in their bottom line, which will translate into a not so big a bonus.
We're talking with Andy Gause. Andy, so inflation's going to go up. That means gas prices are going to go up. But you also stated that we're going to see more jobs in 2017. How is that going to happen?
Well, you know, we've been controlling inflation on the demand side for the last 8 years or so. So in 2007, if you recall, when the Federal Reserve stepped into the market and started buying U.S. Treasury bonds and agency obligations, as well as mortgage-backed securities, they created nearly $4 trillion, or four times what their original balance sheet was. Normally, an economist would tell you that would cause inflation. But on the demand side, by regulating farming, fishing, mining, and manufacturing, which are the four engine drivers of the economy, by regulating them, tamping them down, we managed to keep inflation in check. Now, if the new president comes in as a good businessman and says, hey, this is the problem, we need to unleash farming, fishing, mining, and manufacturing, why, that will fuel inflation on the demand side. So right now we've been keeping it in check. Unfortunately, to keep it in check, you have to keep factory production lower, you have to keep unemployment higher, and you have to regulate farming and fishing. So those things, I think all the regulations will be rolled back if Mr. Trump has his way, and that will unleash the engine that is the U.S. economy. And we could most certainly see the feel the results of it in 2017. We won't have to wait that long.
Andy, Trump's policies have been compared to Reagan's trickle-down economics. Do you agree with that?
Well, to the extent that we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world, just about 38, 39% at the top. So that means that a company like Apple would import its iPhones into Ireland. And in Ireland, the tax rate is 12.5%. So they've moved their operation, if you will, there, their financials anyway. And then once they pay the tax on the minuscule cost of the iPhone, then they import it from Ireland into the United States with virtually no tax. Because most of the tax has been built in and paid. So if these companies stop this behavior and start moving their factories back to the United States, boy, it'll trickle down pretty quick. I think it'll be more like trickle up, because that 15% corporate tax rate will create so many new jobs that the flood of individual income tax revenues to the Treasury will far surpass the loss in corporate revenue. So it's not quite trickle down where we're, you know, giving the tax breaks to the richest Americans, but rather giving the biggest tax breaks to American corporations, who will then presumably bring the jobs back to the United States.
How does the inflation affect small business owners?
Well, you know, to the extent that small business owners will be able to participate in this game, unlike the previous rallies where it was all, again, the multinational corporations, I think it'll do very well for Main Street. Remember, every factory that comes in, it's not so much the factory and the 500 or 1,000 jobs that it might bring, or the headquarters and the jobs it might bring. It's the diners around there and the gas stations and the small businesses that are around that central entity that benefit the most. Once that factory shuts down, it's like dominoes. Everything around it shuts down with it.
Right.
So I think this will be a boon for small business, yes.
Okay. Andy, there's people driving to work right now saying, okay, I kind of understand what this guy is saying, but how does the average person prepare for an increase in inflation? What do we have to do?
Well, as individuals, it's hard to remember that behavior from 77 to 80. Right now, we have the attitude, well, we're going to not buy anything because the prices are probably going to go down. So we're holding and waiting and seeing and not buying houses, not buying cars, although that has increased a little bit recently. For the most part, monetary velocity is as low as it's ever been. That means when someone gets a dollar, rather than spending it, they hold it. In 2007, a dollar would turn over twice every year, two times in a year. Now it turns over 1.2 times in a year. So I think this activity will cause money to get flowing again, and the average person will start to see increases in prices and paychecks. They're not the ones I'm worried about. The ones I'm worried about are the elderly retired folks, perhaps, who have a fixed amount of money,
right,
and it has to last for the rest of their life. They're going to see immediately prices rising. The biggest thing that you could do to protect yourself against inflation, if you're in that category, is to shorten the maturities on your investments. In order to chase higher yield, people have been buying 30-year bonds,
right,
or 10-year bonds, where you give somebody your money, they don't give it back to you for 10 years. That has to really, that's the biggest danger. So if you're a retired individual and you have bonds, ask your broker what it means to shorten your maturities, to get rid of your 10, 20, and 30-year bonds and go to 1- and 2-year bonds, so that as interest rates rise over the next 4 to 5 years, you can roll your savings over into higher interest-bearing accounts. So that's probably the biggest thing. But, you know, I have 3 audio CDs. The first is entitled The Federal Reserve. It plays a big role in our economy. You should understand how it works. The second is The Definition of Money. What the heck is a dollar anyway? And the third, Protecting Your Wealth, will tell you the best way to get money that the Constitution defines. And you can get all 3 of these CDs. Just mention that you heard it on WGN and call our 800 number, 800-468-2646. Or go to Andy Gause, GAUSE.com, and ask for these 3 audio CDs. We'll mail them to you free if you say you heard it on WGN, and then you can make your own determination if your wealth is at risk or not.
Andy, this is great, great advice. We were all raised with our parents saying, save your money, save money, even if it's, you know, $50 a month, whatever you can save. Should we still have that mentality? And where do you put it if you want to save money? Again, back in the day, you'd put it in a bank account. You get 4 or 5% interest, maybe even more. Now it's nothing. So if you want to, should we still be saving even in small increments? And where do we put that?
You know, that's part of the definition of what is money. And back in the day, if you will, we were taught those three things. You're right. Save your money, pay your debts off early, live debt-free. Those were the maxims, right? But saving your money now, when every year in an inflationary environment, when every year it's worth less, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. When I was a kid, my brother would charge me 25 cents to ride in his car to the skating rink. And that's because that's how much a gallon of gas cost. So I'm dating myself, yes?
Yes.
Today, that silver quarter, though, from 1964, will still buy a gallon of gas. So they keep moving the target of what a dollar is, what money is, and without knowing, what do? So my advice to a small saver, go down to your local coin shop, ask them for a quarter from 1964. It's probably going to cost you $3. Put it in a piggy bank like you used to do when you were a kid. Inflation will make that quarter rise in value.
Yeah.
So the Constitution was very specific when it said, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. The more money the Fed creates, the less it's worth. They couldn't do that with gold and silver coins. That's why that caveat was put in our Constitution. And with the Mint not making silver quarters anymore, your only choice is kind of to seek out the ones that were already made. So any silver quarter made before 1964, or even a silver dime or a silver half dollar, will protect your wealth better than anything else. When interest rates hit those high double digits, as they will, then, of course, is the time to sell, as it was in 1980, your silver quarters and buy U.S. Treasury bonds in double digits.
Andy, I grew up in Peoria. You keep bringing up the 80s. I mean, 1982, the old saying in Peoria was, keep the lights on, we're staying, because everyone was moving out of that city. Hiram Walker closed down. Caterpillar was laying people off, going on strike. It was horrible. So what are you telling us?
Right. That the trade policies implemented in that era caused our American factories. You can't tell an American worker, American factory, look, we want you to put scrubbers on your smokestacks. We want you to put filters on your sewer. We want you to put worker safety laws, better lighting, 40-hour work weeks, paid vacations, holidays, while your competitor in China sends them, never mind a transgender bathroom. They tell them to just go behind the tree, work 12 hours a day. We're going to spew the smoke into the environment. We're going to dump the filthy water into the river. And of course, we can make the widget cheaper. Of course, we can make a tractor cheaper when we ignore all the regulations that are in place in the United States. So I'm not suggesting that Mr. Trump is going to eliminate our environmental regulations, God forbid. But if he's going to put a tax on that foreign tractor, he's going to put a tax on that foreign automobile, then that will level the playing field so that we can employ all these people with these regulations in a fair work week and still be a competitive company. That's the difference. And once we have that in place, Americans will flourish again.
I feel like if we're putting these taxes on these foreign objects, I feel like we're going to pay for it. The consumer's going to pay for it. It's going to fall back on us.
Yeah, it falls back on us in the form of a direct tax instead of an income tax. So if you choose to fix the car instead of replacing it and so forth, you'll save the tax. But, it's a false economy in that, take LG, for example, everybody's refrigerator, everybody's phone, they're a Korean company. They're exempt from income tax in the United States. So all the profit and revenue that LG generates, we can go buy our refrigerators a little cheaper, but we're cut off from the revenue stream. If we were paying a little more to an American company to build that same refrigerator or pay the tax to the LG refrigerator, at least the Treasury of the United States will benefit and the income tax won't fall solely on the American individual taxpayer. So I guess the answer to that is yes, we'll be paying more for our Chinese goods and services. However, we'll be earning more, and hopefully that'll offset. Again, the only generation that will suffer are those that save their money and have to live on that same supply of money for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Those are the folks in the biggest danger. But the worker, the average wage worker, he'll see higher prices, but he'll see higher wages and a better paying job.
AndyGause.com is your website. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless Chicago.
All right. Thank you, my friend, Andy Gause. AndyGause.com.
He's great.
Go there. he's great, but I'm depressed.
I know. I am a little bit, too.
Prices are going to go up. Inflation's going to go up. But our salary is going to go up. So I feel like everything's going to blow up in 2017, according to Andy.
He seemed optimistic, though, right? Yeah. I feel like that was an optimistic. It was
a little bit.
Yeah.
A little.
You tried to pin him down. I was thinking the same thing. Good, bad, where are we at here? Because it's hard to boil it all down.
I mean, optimistic with an asterisk. All right.
That's a nice cheer up. Let's take a look at traffic. Here's Susan. Andy Gause. All I can think about, when he went to the 80s in 1982, I thought, oh, my God. Because I remember my father was working at CAT, and I just graduated from grammar school, and it was horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, the economy was in the toilet. So he's saying prices are going to go up, inflation's going to go up, but our salaries are going to go up.
Slightly. But I still think we spend a lot.
It's amazing. There's a lot of people out there super optimistic about what's about to happen, and then there's about half that are just completely terrified.
Yeah, and they still go out to eat, and you have to make a dinner reservation. You have to wait 45 minutes to get into a restaurant.
People are spending. Yeah. They still are.
I mean, what I took from that interview is I better go out and buy everything now. You want to get that car? Now.
Do it now.
Don't do that.
Pay it off. Do you guys remember when you opened up a savings account when you were a kid at the Harris Bank or wherever it was, and you got a little stuffed animal or a little bank?
Yes. I saw that on WGN growing up, but I grew up in Peoria, and we just got a little book. You'd get a little booklet that you could follow along.
Oh, cute.
Yes. We just got a piece of candy.
Candy?
Yeah.
Like that hard candy, right?
Right, funny. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the penny. They're thinking about getting rid of the penny because the penny costs more than a penny to make, so why keep it around?
I'm not a change fan.
Get rid of the penny.
That happens after 7 o'clock. Also, the plastic bag tax. How does it affect you? How much will it cost you? Dave Schwann. Details coming up in news. Top of the hour on 720 WGN.
Hey, yo. He's having a ball. And, you know, they asked me to get on the mic.
7-Eleven. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Remember years ago when we used to collect pennies because there was always rumors of the penny going away? Did you guys do that? We did it at the McMurray house.
Yeah, we always collected coins, especially pennies, yep.
Well, the penny is worth 1 cent, and the U.S. Mint says the 1 cent coin now costs 1.5 cents to make. Are they going to get rid of it? Joining us from ABC News is Brad Melke. Brad, I feel like this rumor comes up every few years.
Well, and that's because the cost of the penny is well above 1 cent every single year. And in fact, last year it was 1.4 cents. The year before that, though, it was 1.6 cents. I mean, it has been well above that sort of 1 cent threshold for a long time now. So the question is always, what will the U.S. do? Is there a way to make the penny cheaper? The U.S. Mint say the answer is no. And so then the question is, when the country loses $45 million a year making the penny, and that's about what it is, what is the value? You know, how much is it worth to keep the penny around? So, you know, it would take a law from Congress to actually get rid of the penny. And, you know, we have not seen a willingness from Congress to make many laws at all, let alone ones that get rid of the penny. So we might sort of be stuck with this problem for a while.
Is there anything else we can make it out of?
Well,
cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, there is talk about, you know, replacing the slug. You know, it's not an entirely copper material. It's actually made primarily of zinc, and then it's coated with copper. If you replace that zinc with steel, some have said you could perhaps make it cheaper. However, the Mint has basically said that they've sort of tapped out all the resources they can as far as making it cheaper at a reasonable price. So for the last couple of years, Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, says he's been working on this, and we have not heard an update. Over that last year or so.
Well, the basic question is, how do you make change if you don't have a penny?
Yeah, and so that's when you start talking about getting into denominations of a nickel, although it should be pointed out that nickels are losing money as well. Those are a losing investment as well. So, you know, if you're going to have a system where the cent actually always has to be rounded to the nearest 5 or the nearest 10 cents, you certainly have a lot of confused Americans, although I'm not sure the system would implode, but certainly be a big break from tradition.
Brad, are any of the older pennies still worth something? Remember back when we were kids, you'd coin collect or you'd save the pennies? Were they the Indian head pennies? But some of those would have been worth something now. Are they worth anything nowadays?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually don't know about pennies, but I do know, you know, over the last 20, 30 years, the composition of a lot of these coins has changed. And that's why you saw people hoarding nickels for quite a while, because nickels are actually made of more copper than the penny is. And so when you started talking about copper shortages and things like that, a lot of people would harvest those nickels and actually sell them for their copper, which technically is illegal, but it would make these people some money. And so you still see some sort of interesting entrepreneurship come out of these metal coins.
So the penny's losing money, the nickel's losing money. How about the dime and the quarter?
Dime and the quarter are keeping us in the game, you guys.
The dime and the quarter are safe. What about the half dollar? Is that still around?
The half dollar, I believe, is out of circulation, although we have seen a rise in, of course, dollar coins. And so the question is, you know, of course, if we ever got rid of the penny and or the nickel or something like that, just sort of what would our pocketbooks look like? Would we see, you know, this sort of larger rise in dollar coins? The answer from a lot of experts seems to be probably, and certainly could make things easier for automation and things. And although, you know, while this is sort of common in Europe, as you saw the 1 euro coin and the 2 euro coin even, they've been talking about larger ones. It still is sort of a shock to Americans who like to have that crisp $1 bill in their
pocket. Yeah.
Brad, I'm an elite level athlete. I once had a huge free throw in a rec league basketball game. I've done the math here. It takes about 5 seconds to actually pick up a penny. So if you do that throughout the day, you're going to make $7.20, which is less than minimum wage. So my question is, should I even pick up a penny when I see it on the ground? Because really, I think I'm losing money by even bending down.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in our sort of economic history, the penny is you know, less than it's worth in so many ways. So whether you're measuring it by, you know, sort of the actual labor of dealing with the thing, keeping it around, fishing it out of your pocketbook, all for that 1 cent, picking it up, or the actual cost of making it, I mean, the answer seems to be no. It's not worth very much at all.
I like how you had to bring up the elite athlete to get your penny question.
Because, I mean, people might take
in the rec league,
right?
By the way.
What's how quick you get down to get the penny. Maybe an elite guy could be worth the penny.
Don't you want to have good luck?
Brad, I'm not going to name names, but there's someone on this show that throws away her pennies.
Oh nice. There's the bus.
Wow.
Here, let me just. Oh, okay, wait. Let me pull myself out from under the bus.
Well, there are people that throw away pennies.
I do.
Seriously.
Brad, don't judge me, but if I go in, I rarely use cash or have cash on me. Literally. Mm-hmm. I use credit card. But if I do, on a very rare occasion, use money and get change back, I'll either leave it on the counter for the next person. I just don't want change. I don't want to carry it. I don't want it in my purse. I think it's dirty.
You know, it adds up.
Well, I suppose you could take it all to a big machine. Then you get even less money.
Right. See, thank you, Brad.
It adds up.
I save the quarters and the dimes, but if I get nickels or pennies, I will leave them or toss them.
So, Brad, the bottom line.
This news probably did not make your confidence in these valuable materials worse sore very much.
So is the penny going to stay around?
Yeah, the bottom line is yes, at least for the near while, unless Congress actually sort of passed a law, unless there was a concerted effort to get rid of the penny, it seems that the U.S. is going to keep losing money on it. So the big question will be, is $45 million, that is the cost that we are losing every year on producing the penny, is keeping the penny around worth $45 million? The answer for years has been yes. It looks like it'll continue to be yes, unless people decide otherwise, whether in Congress or on a more broad level.
That's insane. That is insane. That's insanity.
$45 million.
$45 million for the penny. I mean, are you kidding? That's
how are you going to make change? How are you going to make change?
Who cares?
Brad Melky. Brad, thanks for joining us from ABC News. Thanks, buddy. Do you guys collect
that? That's offensive.
I mean, do you have a holder for change at your house? We have a huge cup.
You can have any piece of change I have, unless it's a quarter.
A tumbler that we fill up with change, and we take it to you can't take it to the bank anymore. They won't take it. You got to take it to Jewel.
Yeah, where do you take it?
You take it to Jewel, and you got to pay money in that machine.
Aren't there like select banks that do take the change? I've got a water bottle that's been sitting there with. I mean, it's probably more dust in the thing than actual change.
But right. How long does it take you to save? Okay, I know it adds up, but when you how
every
long
day
does it take
I throw change in that thing. Every day.
But it adds up to what, $20?
And then it becomes a big... It
becomes $100.
It becomes a big game. If you guess, person that guesses closest to the tumbler how much money is in it gets to keep it. So we have three people in our family, Sarah, Charlie and me.
Oh, well, that's cute. You play a game.
So you guess. It's like The Price is Right.
That's cute. You can hear. I'll help you. I'll contribute to your...
person that comes closest to the actual price without going over. Yes.
Ooh, they get $20.
Is that like an every other Friday thing in the McMurray household? When do you guys get this thing done?
It's filled right now. We got to go to the bank this week or go over to Jewel.
Do y'all go together?
We do.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's a family event. Yeah.
You're a special human being.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at traffic. Susan? .723, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It's 720 WGN. Just got off the phone with Brad Melke from ABC News talking about the penny. Costs 1.5 cents to make. Are they going to keep it around? Yes, they're going to keep it around. But these rumors persist and they come up every few years. Is the penny going to go away? So when we were kids, we collected so many pennies. And then next thing you know, you're collecting coins in the big jars. And we still do that to this day at the McMurray House. But what do you guys collect?
Oh,
are you collectors?
When I was little, I collected stamps. I know that sounds really dumb now, but I did collect stamps. And then when I got older, I collected shot glasses. You know, if I would travel, not how much I would drink at a bar. But I mean, if I would travel, I would get a little shot glass from every place I went. And those are all sitting now. Thank you, Mom, by the way, in my mom's garage.
What are you going to do with them?
I don't know.
Why do we keep them around? You're Greek. You're a hoarder.
I am a hoarder.
It's in your blood.
I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
Keep it at your mom's house.
Don't give her ideas. She's going to give them all the goodwill.
Carm, do you collect anything?
I have probably 30 Michael Jordan posters in a Bulls garbage can that sits next to my heater that I haven't touched in at least 20 years.
They're not framed?
They've been taken down. They were up, and they're not worthy of framing. I got a bunch of stuff that is framed on my wall as well. So if I was to frame all those, I mean, I'd officially be six again. I don't know if I want to go back to being six. I'd like to stay at least 10.
I'm glad you brought that up because I frame all sports stuff. Like the Cubs won the World Series. I got the front page. I wanted to frame it. Well, where do you put it? I have so many framed items in my basement. And I have autographed guitars. They used to be hung up in my basement. Then we repainted the basement. My wife's like, maybe we should dial those down. So they sit in a closet.
Yeah, I used to collect that stuff, though, too. Every time we would interview either a celebrity or a musician, I would have them autograph the album cover, and I framed those for the longest time, but I did the same thing.
But what do you do with them?
I repainted, and now they're... I have a second bedroom that's kind of just... I wouldn't invite you guys into that room.
You're not married. I don't have that bedroom anymore. I used to have that.
But it's not on the wall. They're all just like lined up next to this little cabinet thing.
Why do we keep framing things?
Well, hold on a second. You have a Charlie who is your son. And
yes.
You can use him
to
hang the stuff.
I have.
So,
yes. Okay. His bedroom is full.
Oh. Okay.
just framed the front page of the Tribune, okay? It's the actual poster, because if you frame a newspaper, it turns yellow over time, looks bad.
Unless you mat it on black board.
That's too much money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have the frame, and we just hung it up in his room, but there's no room. He's got Blackhawk stuff. He's got Cub stuff. And I hate to say this, but my wife is a Green Bay Packer fan, and he does have some Packer stuff on his walls. And we fought about that for a long time.
Yeah.
I think there's always room. I think you just got to, it's worthy to have some clutter on your wall to have everything. You look very passionate about this. I'd create more room.
I'm not kidding when I say this. I probably have 10 autographed guitars sitting in storage in my basement.
I believe it.
From Slash to Cheap Trick.
Yeah, you don't want to get rid of it.
Right.
You have to
You can't
keep
get rid
stuff.
Of that.
No, I agree.
They look so
like
cool
too.
When you hang them on the walls.
Yeah.
What happened?
I
what
have about guitar picks too.
You get married,
those
your stuff just goes away if you're a guy.
Oh, it goes away too. As a woman, I just don't know where to hang it.
Right.
What do you got? What's those 10 guitars worth to you? Somebody made it. I mean,
I got a Bon Jovi. I got a Dan Aykroyd. I have Slash, Cheap Trick.
Somebody said a
Buddy Guy.
Grand a piece, Pete.
Sammy Hagar.
Would you do it?
No.
No.
I don't think I'd do it.
How about $5,000 a piece?
Maybe.
Okay.
That's, I don't know,
that's
though. That's
50K right there.
Buddy
Bam.
Guy guitar, autograph guitar.
Is it two Pete?
Buddy signed it here, by the way, at WGN in the studio.
Is it two Pete or is it just the autograph? Just the name?
Just the autograph.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case I do need to sell it.
Find out what those bad boys are worth myself. That's just my advice.
I know a guy, Steve. You brought up shot glasses. First of all, my neighbor, he travels. He gets a coffee mug everywhere he goes. His wife is sick of it.
Yeah.
They have at least, I'm not kidding, 150 coffee mugs. They don't know what to do with them. They're in a box now.
That's the
every city he goes to.
Yeah.
Donation.
At some point, you're going to stop using it, or you're going to stop collecting. It just gets to be too much. I wanted to collect golf balls from all the courses I played. That stopped, too.
Oh, yeah.
I bought the golf ball holder, and again, it's probably still in the box in that room.
I know a guy named Steve. He collects action figures. He's got over 1,000. So think about it. Action figure comes out, keeps it in the box, puts it in his basement because he wants to resell it later.
Oh, my God.
Guy's making business moves. What about the VHS Michael Jordan versus the Blazers 1987 game that's sitting on my bookshelf?
VHS. That, somebody will buy that on Craigslist. Somebody will.
Jordan.
Yeah, they will.
Jordan VHS games taped randomly. There's probably a Jeannie Morris interview in there somewhere.
Oh. Well, think about the 90s, how we framed everything and we took everything from the Jordan era and kept it.
Right.
That's worth something.
Right.
Someone's going to buy it.
I didn't think that there was going to be YouTube that I could watch every single game all day long. I didn't know that I was going to be killing time at work by putting on every, you know, this is what I do. But so I don't want to throw this stuff out. It's like sacrilegious.
Right. You
can't throw out Mike.
You can't throw it away. Mm-hmm. Why can't we throw it away? Are we throwing away history? Are we throwing away a piece of our childhood? Why?
It's the childhood.
You know what
for
I
me.
Started doing is saving. And this is how bad I've gotten. I would save the front page of the newspaper from every historic event. Well, like when Princess Diana died, Osama bin
Absolutely.
Laden was captured. So I have all those. And I thought, all right, maybe I'll just get rid of them. I just got a bigger box. I took it from a box to a container.
We're
I went
all
to container
hoarders.
Store. Oh, big time. Big time.
The big story is next. What's going on with the plastic bag ban and how it affects you? Andrea next on 720 WGN. 7:39, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. You got a great idea. You want to turn it into a business. Have you ever been there and thought, oh, my God, this could be a great business idea? We've all been there, haven't we?
Yes.
Yes. Well, how do you turn it into a great business?
You need money, right?
And you need somebody to help you along.
Vision.
Our next guest is the author of Calculated Risk, the Modern Entrepreneur's Handbook. We'd like to welcome to the show Mike Palumbo. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Pete. Thanks for having me on.
People have great ideas all the time. It's turning that into a business is... a bigger chore. How do you get from that idea to the first step?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I mean, a lot of people have good ideas, but not a lot of people are made for being entrepreneurs. I think the most important thing is you have to be focused and you have to be willing to put in the hours. A lot of people, they want to take this idea and make some money, but it requires a lot of very good planning, and that's something that a lot of people lack.
Well, if you're going to start your own business, you got to think about you're going to spend 14, 16 hours a day just working on that.
That's exactly right. I mean, basically you're competing against a lot of other people that have great ideas as well, and they're hungry and they want to be successful. So you have to be able to put that time in.
People are listening right now and thinking, I got a great idea, but I'm scared to take that first step. What do they need to do?
They just have to. It's like jumping in the pool. You just jump. And I mean, it sounds maybe not a perfect metaphor, but I think it's pretty good. I mean, you basically have to just take that risk. It could be the biggest and best decision you ever make in your life, but you'll never know if you don't try. And then 10 years down the line, if you don't, you'll be kicking yourself for at least not giving it a go. I talk about this in my book, but basically the hardest thing to do is not to get the idea, but to actually execute it and to be willing to put the time in.
Mike, do you need a certain amount of money to start? Because I know a lot of people are thinking, okay, well, I don't have the cash. I don't have the startup money to do something like this. Should you have a little bit of a reserve?
It depends on the idea and the scope of the thing, but you know, obviously, starting a business is not going to be cheap. But you know what? You can also find financial partners. You can find VCs that venture capitalists that will back you. So that's out there. The key is having that spirit to make it happen and having that great idea. If you have those things, the money will find you because there's people out there that are looking for great entrepreneurs to invest in. People like me, quite honestly, and we're looking at people all the time. But the key is the idea is important, but it's more the person or the persons, the founders, and how they can execute. Because I'll tell you what, you give Bill Gates, ice he could sell to Eskimos. But you know, you find you find a guy that has a great idea, and maybe they're not you know, they're not, they don't have the bent to be able to execute. And that's an important thing.
Right. I'll tell you a great Chicago story. There was a guy that grew up in Connecticut and he wanted to bring that pizza to Chicago and he turned it into an empire. It's called Peace Pizza at North and Damon, Bill Jacobs.
So good.
And he grew up with bagels. So he said, okay, now I'm going to start a bagel place. And he calls it Bro Bagel, which is right next door to Peace Pizza. And he took an idea and he's like, I'm going to make this happen. And he did.
And you know, that's the thing is yeah, people need to realize that there are everyday people doing this all the time. And yeah, a lot of them don't end up working out, but there are some that do. And these people, it changes their lives. So if you have a great idea and you're willing to put in the time, just jump in that pool and go for it.
We're talking with Mike Palumbo. Mike, can you walk us through the process of getting the money? Because it's such an overwhelming thing for people to grasp to start their own business.
Right. Well, the key is like I said, to have a good story, to have an executable plan that will attract venture capitalists to invest in your company. If you have those things, you know, the money will find you. I mean, you know, I say the money will find you. You do have to go out and promote the company, the idea, but there are people out there in Chicago. I mean, there's 1871, which is an incubator over at the Merchandise Mart. There's plenty of people out there that are willing to invest in good investable ideas, but you have to be able to sell it to these people.
1871, Howard Tolman, wow. Sure.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Yeah, Howard's a good man.
Mike, he is a good man.
Where do you begin? If you have an idea, I know immediately people think, all right, I need a lawyer. Patents, trademarks, copyrights, where do you begin on the legal side of it all?
Well, you do need, I mean, most likely you're going to need to find a lawyer right away because you have to set up, you have to figure out how you're going to set up your company. So you could be an LLC, an LP. There's a lot of legal questions. So you do need help in that area. I mean, unless you're a lawyer yourself, which most entrepreneurs have no experience in that area. So the key is to farm out the issues that you're not good at.
Okay.
And let's face it, entrepreneurs are not going to be good at the legal end.
And so, I think you need to watch the economy, too. If the economy is about ready to tank, you don't want to start your own business, right?
Okay, but the thing is, yeah, you're right, if you knew that. But how many people know when an economy is about to tank? The best thing to do is not to worry about that and just go in there and make it happen. I mean, we could have a recession next year, or we could have no recessions for the next 10 years. Nobody really knows that. And so since it's out of your control,
yep.
I would just suggest you just go ahead and do it.
Another great Chicago success story. When the economy tanked, David Flom started Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Now look at that.
Exactly.
One of the biggest in Chicago.
Yeah,
right.
It is. It's probably one of the top 2, 3, 4 steak joints in the entire city.
Yeah.
And they started it, like you said, at the worst possible time. But if you have a great idea, that's a good example that it's going to work. It's going to work in any economy for the most part.
Sounds like people want to be in front of people like yourself to get the dollars. I think that entrepreneurs, correct me if I'm wrong, you're right, they need to realize that the most important thing is actually selling. You got to be able to.
It sounds like it. You got to sell to everybody.
Right. You can have a great idea, but if you don't know how to present it, you're done.
That is such a great statement. I mean, honestly, that's probably the biggest skill you need besides just being able to work hard is to sell. So if you're not a good salesman, partner with somebody who is, because you that's a big part of everything. You're selling your product, you're selling your idea to venture capitalists.
Yourself.
You're always selling.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I mean, I'm Mike, hiring you, Pete.
Mike, we have a guy on the phone that has a comment. Gil, you had a comment for Mike or a question?
Right. Yeah, no, not a question, just a little history. I retired when I was 62 and found that nobody wanted to hire someone at 62 and get paid to what I was getting paid before. So I started a business, and I repair grocery carts.
You repaired grocery carts? No one does that.
What a great idea.
I just jumped right in. I didn't know what I was doing or whatever, and I went into a neighborhood grocery store, and I said, you should get somebody to fix these carts because they're really bad. And I got a call 2 weeks later, and he says I got about 250 that need fixing. So I jumped in. It took me about 40 minutes on my first cart. Now I can do about 16 in an hour.
Wow.
Awesome story.
Great.
That's a great idea. How many years, Gil?
Uh, well, I'm 72 years old. I've been doing it for 10 years now.
Good for you, man. Thank you for the phone call. I mean, that's a great success story
guys,
right there.
That's a great example of somebody who just saw a need and just jumped in and did it. And good for him.
And somebody like that, though, how do you decide what to pay yourself, right? Well, I could do this for – that's a huge question. When do you take your – what? Well, actually, I'm going to charge this now because there's actual demand.
I think you kind of make it up as you go along, too.
In a way, you do. But the demand for the product is going to determine what you get paid. So you're unfortunately not going to be able to determine that yourself. The marketplace is going to tell you what you get paid, and the key is to have a good enough idea where obviously that the cash flow stream is big enough where you can pay yourself a good wage.
Calculated Risk, the Modern Entrepreneur's Handbook. Mike, do you have a website?
Yeah, for the book, if anybody's interested in buying the book, it's Calculated Risk Book. So all one word, calculatedriskbook.com. And then if people want to follow me on Twitter, some of the folks out there are on it. My handle is MikePal10, so MikePal10. We talk a ton about entrepreneurship and a ton about the stock market. So it'd be a good follow if you're on Twitter. But calculatedriskbook.com is the website.
Mike Palumbo. Mike, thanks for coming on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Let's take a look at traffic. Susan? Thanks again to Mike Palumbo. I'm jumping the gun this morning. I'm sorry. I'm just ready to talk and ready to go. Mike Palumbo, Calculated Risk, the Modern Entrepreneur's Handbook. I root for the underdog. I love the small business guys. I love helping out. I mean, in our neighborhood, you know, we live on the north side in Chicago. In our neighborhood, there's clothes shops. My wife shops there. You got to help the small businesses.
Oh, yeah. The little boutique type stores. You can get some great, great things. And you're right. It supports the local businesses.
And, Carm, you brought up something during commercials. Chris Schoenberger, who was in the other day, Barbecued Productions, he was laid off as a police officer, started this barbecue business, and it's bigger than ever now.
I mean, how do you not root for that guy? He was awesome to talk to. And what did he do? His buddy asked him if he could, he came over a regular barbecue. They love the food. Hey, can you hook up my wedding?
Yes.
He goes to the wedding. Hooks up the wedding, 350 people.
Can I have your business card?
And then people are like, can I have your business card? It's like, I guess I should start a business.
And what I find out is with these small businesses, they give back to the community. And they help charities. And you want to help them because they're doing good.
Absolutely.
That guy especially, too.
We should have him back in.
He was here.
No,
he was here Monday. He came in Monday.
What?
You missed it. You got to work.
Oh, come on.
You got to work on
it
the off
delicious.
Days.
How about New Year's Eve? We bring him in.
It's too late. No, can't do it.
That was some good.
But we have envelopes, though. If you go out there, you could perhaps win a motorcycle. That's possible, right?
Right. Yeah.
So me and you, Andrea, we'll go. Cool. We'll change up our lunch plans.
Do you guys know any small business owners, success stories?
I do.
Go ahead, Dave.
I have a friend who bought a business from the gentleman he was working for. They had started the business about 50 years ago and then decided to retire. He bought the business from them and works very, very hard to continue to do it. He owns a clothing store, and I'm a big supporter of his and supporter of small businesses like that. We need him. We need him.
What's the name of the business?
It is Zanstra's in Highland, Indiana.
Okay.
That's cool.
I mean, I'm working kind of for a startup now, although it's been bought up by Time Inc. and Fansided. I mean, these guys were just started writing blogs, and they figured out that they had an actual business model, and then 8 years later, they get bought out by Time Inc. That's how Fansided started.
Fansided was bought by Time Inc.?
Yes.
Wow.
It was originally a Kansas City Chiefs blog, and then they're like, well, it works for the Chiefs. Well, why don't we do the New York Giants? Why don't we do the Chicago Bears? Why don't we do every single college team for every, you know, for college football, college basketball, and every MLB team? And then all of a sudden, you know, Sports Illustrated started taking their content, and then next thing you know, Time Inc. buys them.
You have an idea, you can turn it into gold. You really can.
You know what? Didn't Potbelly start that way? It was two guys.
Potbelly started that way.
Yes.
Yeah,
in the 90s, right? And they went big in 99, 2000?
I don't remember if the one on Clybourne the one on Lincoln was the first one. Yeah. Two guys, and they wanted a sandwich that was baked, you know, that it was warm. Because a lot of the sandwich stores then were cold subs, and they wanted a warm sandwich. So they came up with the idea of toasting the bread, you know, while the sandwich is on it, so the cheese just melts into it, and now they're everywhere.
My brother and his buddy Rob Garrity went in there to buy that thing. They were like, hey, you guys want to perhaps franchise this? And they were on the cusp of doing it, and they didn't. Oops.
Oh, no.
That worked out well for whoever did do that.
John, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
My name's John. We own a Chicago pet transport business, which we started up in 2008 when I was downsized. And we transport pets to daycare, veterinarians, emergency rooms. We handle them from beginning to end. And we find it extremely rewarding, not only for ourselves, but also for the clients who come back and say so, saying that we're there, glad we're there. And also for the pets, that we can get them to wherever they need to go.
Good for you, and it's still going strong.
Suburbs.
You started in 2008?
Correct, and we're still going strong. We have several drivers. We do long distance as well, from the airport to wherever they may live, or from wherever they live back to O'Hare to fly out. So it's quite extensive.
What's your website, John? Go ahead, give it a plug.
ChicagoPetTransport.com.
Love it. Thank you, John.
And our phone's on 24/7.
Awesome. All right. I just thought of another success story. 2008, Elliot Fromm, Art Pete Live. He does the Indian head paintings.
Oh, yeah.
He started his own business. That was his thing. Now he helps charities, and he makes money at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Steve Bertrand's texting the show, or somebody from the 224. What about Steve Bertrand travel?
Oh, yeah.
That's probably him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably Bertrand giving himself a plug. there's a Russian hacking story going on. Dave Schwann will have details coming up next on 720 WGN, if I can spit it out. Debbie Reynolds passed away yesterday. Tragic death because her daughter died the day before. We'll talk about that right after 8 o'clock. That's rough stuff, man.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. News is powered by People's Gas. Here's Dave Schwann.
Singing in the rain, what a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone.
Waiting for Debbie to kick in. 810 720 WGN, the 8 o'clock hour, is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Debbie Reynolds passed away at the age of 84 after suffering a stroke. On the phone with us from ABC News, David Blaustein. David, we talked to you 2 days ago about Carrie Fisher. Now here we are again with Debbie Reynolds.
This is astounding. I've never really seen anything like this in all my years of covering entertainment reporting. You know, we see the viral stories of the elderly couple that passes away within minutes or hours of each other, sometimes holding hands after being together for a lifetime. But we don't really hear stories about a mother dying within 24 hours of her own daughter, especially when it's a celebrity. But here we have Debbie Reynolds, who clearly died of a broken heart. She had other health issues. I think if you saw the Screen Actors Guild Awards 2 years ago when she received the Lifetime Achievement Award from Carrie Fisher, it was pretty clear that maybe she was in the early stages of dementia or that she had had a stroke. She just lacked some self-awareness. And yet she was still charming, and yet she was still funny, and that's who Debbie Reynolds was. There were so many similarities between her and her daughter. Carrie Fisher, also very funny, also very self-deprecating. But before Debbie died, we saw all these pictures online and video footage of Carrie Fisher as a little girl with her mother. You saw Debbie Reynolds. There was a GIF going around of Debbie Reynolds giving Carrie Fisher a kiss on the lips when she was a baby. We saw her as a toddler. We saw them staring into each other's eyes when Carrie was a teenager. The parallels between their careers were astounding, both becoming incredibly famous at 19 years old in iconic movies. And make no mistake, Singing in the Rain is considered by many experts and critics and film historians to be the greatest movie musical, where Star Wars, many people consider it to be the greatest movie ever. So just such an odd and strange and heartbreaking story on so many levels.
David, my first thought, and it's horrible to say, but Carrie Fisher made it known that she was always in her mother's shadow her entire life. And when Debbie Reynolds passed away, I thought to myself, oh, my God, here we go again. Carrie Fisher is dead and her mother overshadows her again.
Yes, but not really. I mean, it, sort of. I think they work that out.
We all thought that. You know, please, come on.
No, I think they kind of worked that out. But yeah, you know, she clearly died of being heartbroken over the fact that her daughter died. And Todd Fisher, Carrie's brother, and Debbie's son told Variety that minutes before she had her stroke, she said she wanted to be with Carrie. Look, there is undoubtedly a strong mother-daughter bond, and we all know the one thing, maybe the worst thing in life emotionally, is to lose a child. But these two had an unusual mother-daughter bond in the respect of everything I just told you, the unusual parallels between their careers, and they're the only two people who had that particular experience. But there's the other aspect of this story, and unfortunately, it's something we covered quite a bit after Carrie died, and it was her drug abuse and her alcohol addiction and her mental illness. And she turned to Debbie for help. And when you survive something like that, especially as a parent and a child, it is going to bring you closer. And they didn't just have a mother-daughter relationship. They had a sisterly relationship. I mean, these two were as thick as thieves, you would say, by the end of their lives. And, you know, you certainly understand why that had the physical and emotional impact it did on Debbie Reynolds.
David, I think I told you this yesterday or the day before. I loved Postcards from the Edge. I thought it just was such a wonderfully written movie, of course, her autobiography. But did you think yesterday when Carrie's brother made the statement about, you know, they're together now, did you think while extremely grief-stricken, and I know the family is going through hell right now, but almost a calming or a closure because they are together? Did you sense that a little bit?
You know, I didn't really think about that, but I think that's definitely a fair point. Because it is some sort of closure. And I think these two would forever be associated with each other. But, you know, believe you me, there were many, many, many people up until this weekend in this world who had no idea that Carrie Fisher was Debbie Reynolds' daughter and probably weren't even aware of Debbie Reynolds. You know, it was the same thing when George Michael died the other day. There were a number of people in my newsroom who were under the age of 30 who had no idea who George Michael was. But I mean, I think for them and I think for their family, I think maybe in a roundabout way, it is some sort of closure. But, you know, and maybe they'll see it that way. I have a hard time believing that they'll see it that way. Maybe they could say it and pay it lip service, but that's certainly not how they're going to feel. I mean, you look at poor Billy, Carrie's daughter, who lived on the same block. I mean, that just goes to show you how close they were. I mean, mm-hmm. Their homes were next to each other and Billy lived there, too. And she's an up and coming actress. She was in The Force Awakens, and then, you know, she's on another show right now, and she just probably lost the two closest people in the world to her, so it's got to be a devastating blow for her.
We're talking with David Blaustein from ABC News. You talk about Debbie Reynolds as one of the biggest stars in Hollywood back in the day. The divorce from Eddie Fisher rocked Hollywood, and then Eddie marries Debbie's best friend, Liz Taylor. Think about if that happened today.
No, and Liz Taylor, in turn, turned around and married everybody else.
Right.
At the time, there's a comparison. I mean, there's a parallel for people who don't understand that. Very similar to the Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie.
Absolutely.
Situation. Jennifer Aniston and Angelina Jolie didn't give a flip about each other. You know, they were not good friends. But that was definitely a scandal on par with this. And that was something else that Debbie Reynolds had to survive. And what was her survival mechanism? Her sense of humor. And the sense of humor that Carrie Fisher was also able to use, that she inherited from Debbie Reynolds, to take tragic situations and turn it into something else. And, you know, you saw Carrie Fisher do that beautifully, and her ability to write and tell stories and her ability to doctor incredibly funny scripts as well. That was something that ran in their family. You know, it's something else because we want to talk about what Debbie Reynolds also accomplished in life. You know, we mentioned Singing in the Rain. There's the unsinkable Molly Brown. This was a woman. She was nominated for an Oscar for that. This was a woman who could do anything. She got a little pigeonholed because she was sort of that feel-good girl, American girl next door. And she sort of was never really able to break that mold and give us a really great dramatic role, even though she was capable of that. You saw that if you go back, if you Google the trailer or clips from the Unsinkable Molly Brown, you could see her humor, her dramatic chops, her ability to sing and dance, all on display. But, you know, she was someone where it didn't always come easy to her. Mm-hmm. When she got cast in Singing in the Rain, she didn't really know how to dance. You know, she had to learn how to dance, and it worked out pretty well for her. And then she went on. She was a huge philanthropist. A lot of people didn't know that about her. And a fierce advocate for mental health issues, which, believe you me, had everything to do with Carrie Fisher.
David, we touched on this earlier. You don't see the singer, dancer, actors in Hollywood anymore, like a Debbie Reynolds or an Andy Kay or a Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire, those type of actors and actresses. I mean, it's sad to see Debbie go. I feel like that era has gone away.
You know what's so interesting about that? There's a movie this year that's probably going to win Best Picture at the
Oscars. La La Land,
which is that throwback. It's so odd because she really is. She's the last great star of that era. She was the last survivor, I believe. And she passes away. And in a few months, I'm pretty sure we're going to coronate a movie as the Best Picture of the Year, which was a movie like what Debbie Reynolds would have starred in back in the day. And that's just such an odd and strange coincidence to me, but it's just another facet of this bizarre and heartbreaking story.
David Blaustein from ABC News. Hopefully, David, this will be the last one for the week.
Yeah, I hope so. All right.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
Death in Threes. So let's see.
George Michael,
Carrie
Fisher,
and
Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Coming up, we have some George Takei tickets to give away. We'll do some Debbie Reynolds trivia. Coming up next, the Entertainment Report was brought to you by Grossinger Auto Group. Let's take a look at traffic. Here's Susan.
And what a lovely morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
824, our phone number, 312-981-7200. Debbie Reynolds was nominated for an Academy Award for what movie? If you get it correct, we have a pair of tickets to see George Takei live on stage at the Chicago Theater on February 4th. 312-981-7200. Debbie Reynolds nominated for Best Actress for which film?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I
forgot about this.
Yes.
It was a good one.
It's been a rough week.
Oh.
George Michael, Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds.
I was listening to George Michael yesterday on my Spotify. I just kind of hit shuffle, and he had so many great songs.
Yeah.
He really did.
There's a picture of him on TMZ.com. He looked terrible at the end of his life.
Yeah.
Not good.
Addicted to heroin. I mean, he looked like Marlon Brando. He was that big.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Unrecognizable.
I couldn't believe it.
When you live the hard life, it does tend to show up in how you...
God,
in the old face.
It's a slippery slope with drugs, man. Especially if you're in Hollywood. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Or in the music business. Drugs are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You would think that at some point, if you were in Hollywood and you had all the dough, you would eventually figure out how to save yourself. But it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Matthew Perry, who was an alcoholic, or I guess you're always an alcoholic, he had a life coach when he came to town for that charity event at Wrigley Field, Woody's Winter Warm-Up.
Really?
So he had he hired a life coach. When you make enough money, you hire somebody to tell you, don't drink. Yeah.
Or just sits there with you all day long.
Great.
See,
hey. I wish I could do that.
Remember that event? I met him. That was the first time I met him. And I love Friends. He was the one who I'd say, you know, I said, hey, can we grab a picture?
Right.
And he was smoking a cigarette. And he said, you know what? Just give me a few minutes. I said, okay, that's cool.
Right.
And I thought, no, it doesn't matter, whatever. And then I walked away. And he came back a few minutes later and said, hey, you want to take that picture?
Think about that. You can't go anywhere without someone taking a selfie.
I know.
That would drive me nuts.
I know.
Everywhere you go. But he was very nice.
I sort of felt bad. But yeah, he was extremely nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love it. Please come up to me. Ask me for a picture. I'll pay you.
Mark, take a selfie with us.
Carol, what was the movie Debbie Reynolds was nominated for an Academy Award?
The Unsinkable Molly Brown.
The Unsinkable Molly Brown. Yes. Congratulations. We'll set you up with a pair of tickets. You're going to see George Takei at the Chicago Theater on February 4th.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol. Carm, have you ever seen a Debbie Reynolds film, Singing in the Rain? Family classic, Sunday afternoon, Frasier Thomas on WGN TV.
There's an outside chance that I saw at least 5 minutes of that movie at
How
one point
in
my
life. See Singing in the Rain. Singing in the Rain. It's a classic.
It is. I love those old musicals.
Right.
I like the new musicals too. Chicago, Moulin Rouge.
Who has time on a Sunday afternoon to sit there and watch something like that, honestly?
When your mother tells you to do it, you have to do it.
Right. Yeah, that's
I bet you've seen some of these.
No, I'm sure I have. It just doesn't really I haven't thought about whether or not I've seen Singing in the Rain.
847 texter said Family Classics was on at 3 o'clock because you could watch the Bear game and then you turn on WGN and watch the old movies.
There you go.
Right. Errol Flynn and the whole deal.
I've barely seen It's a Wonderful Life. Like, that's a recent...
cut it out.
That's a recent development.
Stop it.
That's within the last 2 years, first time ever.
Did it change your life?
It's a nice story.
Oh, listen to you.
It's a nice story.
It's a wonderful life.
I understand. It's solid. Good film.
We'll get more details on that truce in Syria with the big story, Andrea, next on 720 WGN. I keep stepping on commercials.
Okay?
I apologize.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I think you just did a triple step. That was good.
I did do that. Something that I've learned since we're on CLTV at 9 o'clock, I need to clean up the studio before we go on television.
Really?
Yeah. Try to clean things up. I mean, this studio is an absolute pigsty right now. Look at all these papers. I don't print anything.
Well, we got off on
we
a
print
weird,
everything at WGN.
We got off on a weird foot, though, earlier in the week with, you know, the dog kind of laying the groundwork.
We had a dog that made a mess in the studio. Still got adopted, though.
Did we...
Which, by the way, I asked the folks at CLTV, and they didn't notice that. They said that didn't come out on camera.
By the way, Doc Emrick, who we had on the other day, one of the greatest sports announcers ever, who does NHL hockey on NBC, paid for that adoption.
God bless Doc.
Yeah.
Do we check the footage of CLTV with the dog having its moment? Do we find out if there's any video of the large?
I didn't find any video, but I did ask the producer and Sandy, the assistant news director, yesterday. I said, I told them what happened, and she said, we didn't see that on camera.
There's a brown spot still on the carpet. Who do you call for that?
Ghostbusters.
I spray it every day. We got the spray right back here.
I haven't even gone over to that part of the studio. I'm still terrified.
Breakfast with the Blackhawk. Jamal Mayers playing in the alumni game. We'll talk to him in 8 minutes. Time for the big story. Here's Andrea.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
AM 739, 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios in for Steve Cochran. Steve back Monday, 9 a.m., doing the pregame with Dave Ennett before the Winter Classic. Jamal Mayers, we'll talk to him in just a second. Breakfast with the Blackhawk is brought to you by MB Financial Bank. Jamal Mayers, when we get him on the air, need to ask him which city he loves more because he spent 10 years in St. Louis. He was drafted by the Blues, but he won a Stanley Cup here.
I bet he says Chicago.
But you always remember your first job right out of college.
Yeah, right? But what was the job where you reaped the most rewards?
He was only here 2 years, right?
I mean, I worked in DeKalb, Illinois. I'm going to tell you that I prefer Chicago.
How did you end up in DeKalb?
That's a good story, actually. WLBK AM crashed the station vehicle in my first week on the job.
Good for you.
Wasn't that impressive?
Driving down 38, going to McCabe's back in the day?
Pretty much, yes.
Andy's?
Did play-by-play of a DeKalb Bar football game. Was so excited afterwards. Got in the car. I'm like, let me put on the radio. I'm going to listen to something in the station wagon Ford Escort. Head down right into the back of a pickup. Total car.
Boy, that's bad. I got our news car towed one time, but that's bad karms.
It wasn't great.
Crashed the station car.
Station manager Dave Bevito was not thrilled with me.
Did you have to pay for the damage?
I thought they have insurance.
Oh, see, I had to pay for half the tow.
I was making $18,500.
That's big money back in the day.
That is big money.
DeKalb. That's big money in DeKalb.
Yeah.
1999. We're not talking like 42 here, but okay. Uh-huh. Sure. I was getting paid.
I'm still upset. I don't know if it's upset, but I'm disturbed by the story that it could rain on Monday and this game could be rained out.
That would not be good. That would be unfortunate.
It rained a few years ago. Was it in Pittsburgh or Boston? Was it Boston?
I want to say Pittsburgh is right.
But it rained, but they still played through it, and it was just very slushy and slow.
How can you play on slush?
Fog coming up off the ice. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't, like, see anything. That was here, was it not? Like, for a while there, you couldn't... I feel like that's accurate. Hang on a second.
The snow here at Soldier Field a few years ago was just wonderful.
Let me try.
I love that.
That was fun.
Yes.
It was freezing cold, and it was a blizzard, but it was fun.
I was at Wrigley. Love that. I love the outdoor games, man. Yeah.
The first one was just incredible. It felt like it was an event that would never happen again. Now it has happened a couple times, but that's okay.
The game at Wrigley was where I discovered, you know, how you have the hand warmers that you could, you put in your gloves, they keep your hands warm.
Yeah.
Which do they really? But they have back warmers like that and butt warmers.
You're just discovering
that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that till the Wrigley game.
Pittsburgh was the rain game, the Capitals and the Penguins.
Okay.
2011.
I'm a season ticket holder for the Chicago Bears, so you got to know when the layer. You can't have tight shoes either if you're going to put those warmers in your boots. You got to have a pair of boots for the Bear game so you can put the warmers in there and you can move around your feet.
Why? Because your feet will get sweaty?
Or why
can't you have the
Because
tight?
It'll be too tight and they don't seem to work.
Ah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you're a grown man, you're an adult, you're a dad.
Yes.
It's 3 degrees in December.
Right.
You've got tickets.
Yeah.
The Bears are good.
Uh-huh.
You going?
Oh, absolutely I am. And I've done it.
Oh, my.
Such a dream scenario until you said, you know.
One of the last games for Brett Favre at Soldier Field, we ordered beers, and I'll never forget this. They froze. The top froze. I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we drinking frozen beer?
I used to sell beers on those cold December days at Soldier Field, and lunatics every which way.
Oh, yeah.
Beer man, get up here or else I'm going to throw you off this deck. I'm like, easy there, angry football guy.
I understand the guys that are drinking, but why do you take off your shirt? I don't understand taking off your shirt.
I think it's a bet. Somebody was selling their Bears tickets for the game a few Sundays ago that was supposed to be 2 degrees or 3 degrees. And part of the, I guess the stipulation was that if you buy the tickets, he was selling tickets super cheap, like $5 or $10 a ticket, but you had to take a picture with your shirt off.
I don't get that.
You wouldn't go if they're bad, would you? Like, would you go bad and cold?
This year I did not.
Okay, thank you.
No. But people will know what I'm talking about. If you tailgate in the South Lot, that's where we tailgate. Every single game, there's an old man with a mustache. He's got a gut, a very hairy chest, and he now has a microphone. He'll sing a song, he'll make a toast, and he'll drink bourbon out of a bottle with his shirt off. Depending on, it doesn't matter what kind of weather, he will take off his shirt, and he will chug bourbon.
That's aggressive.
It is aggressive.
Every single home game.
Does he share that bottle? Can you get a swig?
I don't think you want to, man.
You tailgate, right?
Yes.
When you go?
Right.
Have the tailgates gotten crazy? I've seen pictures of people tailgating with lobster tail, steaks.
It's crazy.
I thought the tailgate just used to be some burgers and a couple of beers.
It's crazy. I mean, we've had shrimp. You have everything. You can get whatever you want.
That's a high-end tailgate.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of the tailgaters. Those you're living your life the right way. It just looks so fun. You got a whole setup going on.
Brother Ed on the grill. It's all a system. You have to be able, number one, to pack your car and unpack your car the right way. And you got to have all the stuff because you need a table. Everything's got to be compact.
Right.
Okay?
And then it's a thing, too. You got to know how to do the,
yeah.
Get the coals right.
Right.
You know, Brother Ed.
You can sometimes go gas.
Brother Ed
gas
is not like a monk, right? It's just your brother.
Yes.
His name. Okay.
I don't know why we call him Brother Ed Mick. That's what I call my brothers. Well, Brother Steve Mick, Brother Johnny Mick, Dave Mick, Greg Mick.
What do they call you, Petey Mick?
I guess. Or just Pete. Okay. I don't think I have a nickname.
Do you have a role in the operation?
I drink and I eat and I complain because we never have chairs. I go, guys, can we just sit down 1 week? Do we have to stand up for 3 hours before the game? It's like, you're soft. Man, we're Bear fans. We're tailgating out in the cold on the lake. You don't need to sit down. I'm like, all right, that's cool, man.
You guys are welcome anytime to the Gelman tailgate. Skirt steak, chairs, anytime you want.
What lot, Joey?
Waldron Deck.
Waldron Deck.
Every Sunday.
Are you on the top or are you
in
the
middle?
Yeah,
the top deck.
Can I just come for the tailgate?
Absolutely. Right,
people do that all the time.
I'm in.
We talk about the Winter Classic, how you think, Carm, I love it every year, but you think it's kind of getting old. If they had it at Sox Park, we could all tailgate, too.
See, there you go.
Soldier Field, a few years ago, we tailgated.
We did.
I don't think it's getting old. I just think it's not as new as it once was. I think they should play the whole season outdoors. I mean, every game outdoors is incredibly cool. And that might be a little bit over the top and hyperbolic, but regardless, I love outdoor games. It makes it more fun.
Sometimes I get the outdoor game mixed up with the All-Star game because the Hawks are playing tonight. I'm thinking, why are they playing tonight? We got a break. They're playing Monday. Right, but it's not right.
Yeah, Nashville tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop.
Still waiting on Jamal. Who knows? Let's take a look at traffic as we're waiting. It's 8:46. Here's Susan. .850, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios, in for Steve Cochran. He is back Monday for the Blackhawks Blues pregame at 9 a.m. before the Winter Classic. If it doesn't get rained out, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by, always brought to you by our good friends at Wintrust Community Banks. We had Dawn Jackson Blattner, who's the Cubs dietitian, in studio the other day, and we're all going to get on a weight program for the new year. Am I right? Are we doing that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Is everybody all in?
Eat a little healthier, work out more.
Where are we going? Can we make it a real competition? I want real competition. I want accountability. I want money involved. I want a real thing here.
Well, let's talk food. We talked about food trends. The oxtail. Remember we were talking about the oxtail?
Yeah.
Who makes oxtail? And suddenly we get all these text messages how the Italians love the oxtail.
Yeah.
Where do you pick up the oxtail? Can you get the oxtail at the Jewel? Mm-hmm. How about high-end Spam?
No.
That is a food trend for 2017. Basically, it's Spam sushi in a can.
Spam. See, I like sushi.
Right.
I'm not a fan of Spam.
When was the last time you had Spam?
How has Spam ever survived? How has that survived? Why would anybody ever eat that?
I don't know who eats it.
Have you guys ever? I don't think I've ever even eaten Spam.
I have.
Gross.
You put it on toast. It tastes okay. It tastes fine on toast.
So you open up a can that's like this nasty pink thing that tastes terrible. You put it on toast and you eat it because why?
Because he can.
I have no idea. It's local, right? Beloit?
What?
Beloit, Wisconsin?
Is that why you eat it?
Don't you see the Hormel sign? Isn't that where they make
to support
Spam?
The local businesses?
Yes.
The Midwestern business?
I mean, I'd rather have mayonnaise on white with nothing than Spam. Go ahead. Sorry.
Spam musubi is popular in Hawaii, and it's going to move over to the States. It's basically Spam sushi. So look for the high-end Spam in 2017. How about the purple bread?
Purple bread made
with black rice, so it turns purple. It's supposed to be 20% healthier, and it helps you digest easier.
I'm interested.
Purple bread too. Didn't know.
Okay. Some food trends for 2017, the no-tip restaurants. We've had this conversation before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they're going to work it into your bill. But how much do you want to tip? 10, 15, 20%?
So
how does that
tip,
work?
But it's not a tip? I don't understand.
You know, I know you talked about tipping the other day, too, with Jane, and this always baffles me. When you go into a restaurant, say you're going to get carry out,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen this at least a half dozen restaurants.
Here we go. Yep.
So you're going to get carry out,
yes.
Right? So you order it, you're going to take it to go, and you're going to leave. And they flip the thing around, mm-hmm. which is like an iPad.
Right.
And it says tip.
Yep.
Should you tip them? They just took your order.
If I go into the restaurant a lot, I will. $2. If I order from the restaurant a few times a week, yes,
but
I will absolutely.
But I'm carrying my own food out.
I understand that, but
why?
You got to take care of your guy.
I don't get that.
So you're making the tip because you want to make sure that your stuff comes next time.
Yes,
you're making
absolutely.
You're that's an investment. It's not a tip.
Yes,
that's I like how you think. That's solid.
Now if they're delivering it to my door, absolutely 20%.
20% to your door?
Oh, yeah, I'm a good tipper.
Okay.
If the bill's $20, I'll give them $4.
Do you leave a dollar or two at the restaurant when you pick up?
Not if I'm walking up to the counter and picking it up myself.
People are preparing that food for you.
Well, then
and a little something.
Does that go to the people in the back? Or
I have no idea. And you can't tip a dollar because it looks like you're cheap. $2, okay.
Right.
So that's why I do too.
Yeah.
You can give a buck, maybe.
You can't tip a dollar on a credit card bill if you're picking up, can you? That looks terrible.
Crazy.
I think you can. If it's, okay, let's say you're picking up. If it's an easy pickup, like let's say it's a soup. It's a $6 soup. You got to go two on a soup?
Come on, no. That's outrageous.
If it's my guy in my restaurant, yes. I am absolutely doing that.
Especially for the purple bread.
Yes.
Now you're at $8 on a soup. That's a,
right.
That's a lot.
If you're picking up soup at a restaurant, just go to Jewel and get a can of soup.
Right, right.
It defeats the purpose.
A lot of sodium in the canned soup. Probably.
John, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, you were mentioning the Spam sushi a moment ago. That's a staple in Hawaii. We go there for vacation, and it's everywhere. Every little hot deli place, it's like bento box food. We lived on it. We would fill our backpacks with it. You just get it wrapped up at the local corner mart. And it's, you know, sushi rice, slice of Spam, some seasoning, sometimes some other stuff on top of it, but wrapped in nori, just like a sushi.
Really?
There you go.
So they've been doing that in Hawaii for years, and it's going to move over to the States.
4 years it's been around. Yeah, it's, I think it's probably their, maybe their national food just about. So,
would you eat that in Chicago?
Of course.
Okay. All right.
If it were available.
Andrea's shaking her head. No way.
I
eat that.
I like sushi, but nearby. I don't know if I'd eat that.
Have you ever had Spam fries? Spam mixed with fries. They make that in Brooklyn.
No.
Yeah, I haven't had that either. I mean, I'm not a big Spam fan other than, in fact, I was shocked. The first time I saw it, it was kind of a weird thing to see. I was even asking the lady, what is that meat on top? She says, Spam. You mean like from the canned Spam? And sometimes they even just take it out of the can and will slice it the can proportion, or the can dimension rather, in thin slices and put it on top of a bed of rice that same size.
So really?
They've embraced the Spam over there.
That's half the fun right there. Thank you, John.
You're welcome, bud.
Everybody look for that high-end Spam coming to a store near you.
Is there Spam in your cupboard right now?
There is not. No.
When's the last time Spam was in your house? Growing up?
Not really.
Okay.
I think we gave away some Hormel items, and they sent, and I'm not kidding, like 3 cases of Spam. That's when I had it. Probably 10 years ago, I'm going to say.
Oh.
When was the last time you guys had Spam? If
I
ever.
I don't even think I ever had it.
I don't think I've had it either.
No.
Are we all in tomorrow?
Oh, you're bringing it. No.
Maybe it's a Spam-a-rama. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow.
Are you going to bring it in?
I'll bring in some Spam.
All right, I'll bring in the crackers.
Spam-a-rama.
I don't want to eat that, but
just try it.
Let's go. Bring in the Spam.
I don't even know what Spam is. I'll eat just about anything.
Do you want to
know what cracker?
Can we get a sardine along with that just as to wash it down?
Okay, I do know people.
You're going to have fresh breath
because I'm Greek. No, I do know people who eat those sardines.
My wife does.
Yeah.
My dad loves a good sardine in a can.
What are they, a good source of iron?
I have no idea.
Protein.
Yes.
No, it's a good source of protein and omega-3 fatty acids.
There you go, Shawnee.
Lise, write it down. I'm buying Spam today, bringing it in tomorrow. We're eating it off crackers.
And sardines.
Woo, that's good stuff.
The rolling can that from 1978.
You're going to be taxed on plastic bags starting in February. Dave Schwann, details, news, top of the hour on 720. .909 Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, live on CLTV and 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. We were talking about Spam a few minutes ago. Wow. There's a lot of people that eat Spam, and they suggest that we should heat it up before we eat it tomorrow. I like getting Spam in the individual packages, making a breakfast sandwich every once in a while with a fried egg on toast. Love Spam. It's ham with spice. Best if grilled, some barbecue sauce. I put it on King's Hawaiian bread. Raw is fine, but much better grilled. Can we heat it up in a microwave tomorrow when we have the Spam-a-rama? Oh.
We have a microwave in the back. You want it warm? You're supposed to warm it up?
That microwave is from 1960. Combined with Spam, it could be over.
I think let's see.
They must have bought it at the same time as they bought the printer that they just replaced.
Slice or cut it, then slicely cook. 312 area code. People are saying we need to heat up the Spam.
You have to warm it up?
You have to warm up the Spam.
Can we put cheese on it?
773. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding when I say this. We have over 100 text messages about Spam. Fried Spam with scrambled eggs. Ate it all the time in the 60s. Willie, 773. That sounds great to me. What is Spam? It's ham with something, right?
Isn't it like processed ham? You know, like a Lunchable? You know, that same kind of whatever that they use to preserve the meat?
Basic ingredients. I just Googled this. Basic ingredients of Spam. Pork shoulder meat with ham meat added. Salt, water. Modified potato starch as a binder. Sugar and sodium.
Okay.
There you go. There's your Spam in a can. The 7 billionth can of Spam was sold in 2007.
Seven billion?
People are buying Spam.
Google. And just think, that started out as an idea. I'm going to can meat, ham.
Saute the Spam with butter and brown sugar. It's delicious.
Spam is not a healthy thing to eat. A 12-ounce can contains 6 servings. A single serving holds 16 grams of fat.
How much sodium in Spam? Cooked with brown sugar. Wow, a lot of people are suggesting cook the Spam with brown sugar. Had Spam with sushi in Hawaii. Fantastic. That's how we got on this conversation. It's big in Hawaii. Spam sushi.
You know what? We're going to eat
Masubi, I think it's called.
We're going to eat it, and we're going to love it.
One serving of Spam holds 33% of your daily recommended allowance of sodium. That would be one third.
How much sodium is too much? We used to fry Spam. Well, you fried everything back in the day. We used to fry bologna.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got so sick of it. Yes.
So gross.
Fry Spam.
Spam rose to popularity since you can eat it right out of the can, making it a useful product for feeding soldiers.
Brand new Spam Museum in Minnesota.
According to Spam enthusiasts, eating plain cold Spam is like eating plain cold chicken breast.
Fry your Spam, put it on white bread with mustard. Yum. 224 area code.
See, if you disguise it with stuff like that, mustard, cheese, that probably isn't going to taste half bad.
For breakfast, try it cubed with potatoes and peppers. For dinner, try it thin, grilled, sliced on top of your favorite burger.
Fried Spam is yummy. I eat it in place of ham. I also eat it cold.
Apparently more than 7 billion cans of Spam have been sold, now available in 41 countries.
Out of anything we've done all week, this is the biggest story
here.
More Spam.
Than, yeah, exactly.
People eat Spam. 262 area code. Yuck.
Yeah, I kind of second that, but I have a weird feeling once you bring it in tomorrow and we eat it, we're going to like it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Especially
it's pork and ham.
Popular in Asia and the Pacific Islands, including Hawaii and Guam. This is not any of those places. I don't think it's going to be popular in the studio.
You like macaroni and cheese bites?
I had mac cheese bites last night. It was incredible.
Carmen's, mark me down right now. Carmen's going to
like
love
Spam.
This stuff.
Of course he's going to love it. You put it on a cracker, and we'll bring in some yellow mustard.
I do like yellow mustard. I believe it. Dijon something. Let's go.
Grey Poupon.
The Spanorama. Okay. New Year's Eve. If you're looking for something to do, let's bring in the host of this show, Mr. Steve Cochran. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, my friend. How you doing?
Doing great. Same to you. But I don't want to interrupt this Spam magic. You know, I turned the show over to you, and I think I'm listening to the Food Channel.
Well, we brought up Spam briefly at about 8:50, and suddenly the text messages are coming in, and we're going to sample Spam tomorrow. When was the last time you had some Spam?
When I was a kid, my dad ate it all the time. It was a World War II thing in his world. He was a cook, and they used Spam a lot. He said it's a big, fat hot dog in a can.
That's
about
right.
And based on the ingredients that you described, what was it, pork shoulder and ham and stucco and aluminum foil? But no, I've had it. It's edible. But you know, listen, Carmen, yeah. I love carbs. Carmen, you know I love you. Why would you even look at the sodium content of Spam?
It's like
going to Baskin Robbins and going, ooh, I bet there's some calories in this. Yeah, just eat it.
I was only responding to Pete's question, Steve, but I actually probably was looking at it beforehand, too. I wasn't going to bring it to the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
But
Andrea, you're in charge. Please.
I know. I'm trying. I'm like swimming up the stream here.
But see, Steve, ice cream tastes good. It's worth the fat. Spam is not worth the dying.
How do you know? When was the last time you had it?
Wait. You don't know. You've never had it, right?
I've had like a taste of it at some point in my life that counts.
We're supposed to eat it tomorrow, Steve. I guarantee Carmen is going to love it.
Do you like a hot dog?
I love a hot dog.
See?
Well, you're going to like Spam then. But I think the texter was right. I think you got to heat it up. And I think there's so much disease and vermin in that microwave at the Tribune Tower that I don't think you can catch anything anymore. You know, I think it's like the antibodies are so high that, you know, you're going to be fine.
Yes, you'll be okay. Hey, Steve, we have Pat McGann coming in studio tomorrow. I'm looking at your website, Cochran Comedy. I don't see Pat on there.
Well, that's the 6 o'clock show you're looking at. Pat will be on the 1 o'clock show. We're doing a 1 o'clock. By the way, I have a cold, so if I sound like I have a cold, it's because I have a cold. But Pat McGann will be at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake, along with Tim Benker and John DeCoste and me, and that's the 1 o'clock show. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll be out at the Tivoli with Patty Vasquez and Larry Reeb and DeCoste and Benker and me. Two great shows. No excuses on New Year's Eve. You can go at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, have the whole rest of the day to yourself. You can go at 6 o'clock at night, get a later dinner, you know, still go out or go home and say you tore it up New Year's Eve. Ah, boy, I'll tell you, you just can't miss. Now, Andrea, as you know, the questions come up. Steve, I get you free every day. Why would I pay for you? Here's why.
I would say why not, but.
Well, that's a good answer, too. But I think the tickets are about $50. But it's New Year's Eve. You dress up. You look fantastic. You come out. You feel good. You have a great time with all these folks. And really, if you break it down, let's take the 1 o'clock show, for example. Let's say you want to pay, $4 for me. All right, so $4 for me leaves 46 on the table. Pat McGann is easily a $30 act, but I'll give you a deal. I'll give you 25 for McGann. That's 21 bucks left for DeCoste and Tim Benker. We'll make DeCoste an $11 act, Benker a $10 act, and you're in. The Late Show, the 6 o'clock show, by the way, how funny is the Late Show at 6? The 6 o'clock show, maybe you pay $6 for me. You know, it's like a discounted movie, and the rest of the people are coming in at $10 a piece. I mean, come on, it's a steal. We should really charge more.
Oh, God.
People are going, I don't want to do the math here. Just take the money.
Can Larry Reeb do a clean show?
Yes. I hope. No, he absolutely can.
Okay.
We'll see.
The shows are PG-13. People ask that, too. I'm glad you brought that up. The shows are both PG-13.
Okay, I saw Pat McGann open up for Sebastian at the Chicago Theater. Pat brought down the house. Seriously.
That's brilliant.
Oh, God, he was so funny. Just talking about his life and his wife and his kids, I was rolling.
Yeah, he's very, very funny, and he's a great guy. And that's the thing. I like working with people I like, and everybody we do these shows with, I mean, Patty's been a friend forever, but everybody we do these shows with, they're all friends. It's good. It's a fun thing. So, it's rouecenter.org, rauecenter.org for the 1 o'clock, and classiccinemas.com for the 6 o'clock, the beautiful Tivoli in Downers Grove. And I hope people come out. We haven't sold a bunch of tickets. There's still tickets left, but I think the Late Show is going to sell out. I don't know if the early one will, but either way, get your tickets.
The Late Show at 6 o'clock.
Isn't that great?
You're home and in bed by 9:30.
It goes with my normal schedule, even though I'm not working the next day. I take that back. I am working the next day. Dave Ennett and I will be in St. Louis for the pregame for the outdoor game.
Steve, have you been listening to Carm Sports this morning? That game could be rained out.
Yeah, when do they make the call on that, Carm?
I don't know, but I think if they do rain it out, Steve, you should go one-on-one versus Ennett on the slushed ice for all the money. What do you think?
Well, I'd do that. Now, when I played hockey, it was always in boots on a pond at my Uncle Hank's house because nobody could afford skates. You think that'll work?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm known for speed. But anyway, you guys sound great together. Andrea should talk more. You two should talk less. Oh. And I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Bye, Steve. See you guys on New Year's.
All right.
Love you, bye.
Love you guys. Love you. I mean you. And you guys.
I mean, I love you. Wait, who am I saying? I love
very,
you.
But very seriously, yeah. I have seen many of these shows. They're hilarious. Steve's funny. John DeCoste, Patty Vasquez. Kills.
Love Patty.
If you've never seen.
I've seen Larry
Patty
Reeb.
John,
I've seen the dirty Larry Reeb. That's why I asked.
Oh, see, I haven't seen the dirty Larry Reeb.
Yeah. It's been years. John DeCoste, even looking at him, he makes me laugh.
John DeCoste, he normally is kind of like the MC. You know, he'll come out and introduce, but he'll do a little bit of comedy in the beginning.
Okay.
He is hilarious.
Gotcha.
If you've never seen these guys do stand-up, they're very funny.
We're going to talk more Winter Classic. We have an alumni from the Blackhawks that's going to be playing in the game on Saturday. We'll talk to him next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Time for Breakfast with a Blackhawk. It's brought to you by MB Financial. Jamal Mayers was a member of the 2013 Stanley Cup winning Blackhawks. He was drafted by the Blues, so the Winter Classic means something to him, and he'll be playing in the alumni game on Saturday. We welcome into the show Jamal Mayers. Jamal, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
I want to say last year we bartended together at Woody's Winter Warm-Up. Is that right? Because I know I did a charity. Okay, I did a charity function with you. You're still in unbelievable shape.
Oh, the looks can be deceiving.
Well, we had Troy Murray on the other day, and we asked him, when do you guys get together and practice? He said, we don't.
No, he's right. So we just, I'll be honest, I hadn't skated up until a month ago for about a year and a half. The last time I had skated was when we played in the outdoor game in Minnesota. So I have skated 3 or 4 times, and hopefully we're ready to go.
Only 3 or 4 times since the Winter Classic. Nice. Where does your love lie? Which city? We talked about this earlier. Drafted by St. Louis, spent 10 years there, but you won a Stanley Cup here in Chicago. But you were only here 2 years.
I have to say the Hawks, they've been so good to me, winning a cup. And, you know, it's a team that took me 17 years to get there. So it's a special place in my heart. And I love Chicago. I love the city, the organization from
Rocky all the way on down. They've treated me so well. So for me, it's Chicago.
Jamal Artemi Panarin nice. Gets the we knew that had to be the Blackhawks. Come on, baby. There's no competition here, right? Artemi Panarin, Jamal gets the 2-year contract extension, $6 million per. Seems like he took a little less money to stay for a little while and still gets free agency down the line for him. This is a win-win all around, correct?
It is. And you think about what he gave up, obviously, lots of dollars left on the table, but I think he recognizes what a great opportunity it is to play with the best player in the world in Patrick Kane. So, you know, good for him for taking less money and wanting to stay and the chance to win. And hopefully in a couple of years they can reward him and get him the dollars and the term he deserves.
Jamal, I got to tell you, going along with what Pete said earlier, you are one of the best-dressed sports commentators
True.
I've ever seen. And I know the guys dog you a little bit about that, but you always look great.
Well, I have not Standard to thank for that. They've treated me so well, and they've been dressing me this year, so it's they've upped my game a little bit, so I've been excited to be associated with them.
Did you ever think you would have to, you know, look in the closet and then match the shoes with the pants and the socks?
They'd probably
the
tell them.
Yeah.
Color coordinated inside the clothes. Jamal, you're going to be playing against Wayne Gretzky on Saturday. How do you feel about that?
Well, I got to find out who the photographer is because I'm going to follow him around the ice for a solid 30 seconds to get a couple pictures to say that I never did get a chance to play against him in a real game, but this is my opportunity. I just hope I'm not the idiot that's skating around the net, and flying around, and then all of a sudden someone moves out of the way and I run over Wayne Gretzky. That's my biggest fear.
Will you ask him for an autograph?
Absolutely. I might even bring a marker on the ice.
Right. Have him sign your stick. This is Wayne Gretzky. And if people are saying, why is Wayne Gretzky playing for the Blues in the alumni game? He played for the Blues for a brief period in between the Kings and New York, right?
He did. It's actually the year before my first year. I thought I was going to training camp with him. At that time, Mike Keenan, you know, chased him out of St. Louis. I think that was in 96. And I finished college and attended my first training camp and hoping that he'd be there, but that wasn't the case.
Are you going to take this as a real game or just have fun? Because some guys, you know, are going to go on the ice and they're going to act like it's a real game.
No, I'll take it as fun. And, you know, but the competitiveness is still there. I'm not going to lie. So the minute someone starts to take it serious, the rest of us will follow suit.
It'll get very, very serious. The alumni game happening Saturday, Jamal Mayers. Jamal, great to talk to you. And I'll probably see you at Woody's winter warm up next month. Okay.
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, man. All right.
Talk to you guys.
See you, man. The big story is coming up next. Plastic bags tax. That's rough stuff, man. They're nickel and diming us everywhere in this city. Andrea, details in the big story next on 720 WGN. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Wouldn't it be great to take a peek into 2017? In studio with us, psychic Denise Gazzardo, 815-398-3983. It's great to see you.
Good morning.
How's the vibe in the studio, first of all?
The vibe in here is great.
It is, isn't it?
It's just a little weird outside there.
How come? Why is it weird outside on Michigan Avenue?
No, the moon's dark. We're in Mercury retrograde.
Oh, that means everything's backwards, right?
Yeah, it's going to last till January 8th.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Are you ready to go? Are you ready to take some phone calls?
Oh, yeah.
People want to know. I'm going to say one question, and you need to know their birth date, right?
That's it.
The birth date and the question.
Yeah, and if they don't want to use their real name, I'm not going to call them out on it. Some people, they want to call, but they're afraid somebody will recognize and, you know, so. But real birthday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about some New Year's predictions?
Oh, we can work at it there, I think.
I know the answer to this first question, but I'm going to ask anyway. Will the Cubs repeat in 2017?
You know I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
Yes, we have, like, a magnificent connection now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yes. But I'd say that if it wasn't true, but I believe it's true.
What about the Blackhawks? Will they win the Stanley Cup this year?
Oh, that's a good question.
All right.
A real strong chance of that.
Oh, I like that.
Well, I'm liking that, too.
Okay. All right. I was waiting for something else. Will Donald Trump have a hiccup in 2017?
He will. Quite a few.
Really?
Yeah.
When's the first one?
Well, I think that the cabinet, I guess that's what they would call themselves, I don't feel like they're going to align as well.
Okay.
As maybe the cabinet thinks they're going to align.
Okay.
So that just makes some popcorn and kind of watch.
See what happens
the show.
This year.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because many think that they're all on the same page, and I think he's been a bit of a Trojan horse, so it'll be interesting to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will Pete McMurray get what he wants in January?
Yes.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I like that. All right, let's
Not even a hesitation.
I love it.
No.
Wow. You and I have been friends for almost 25 years.
I know.
This is why I love you. First of all, you're a great soul. Secondly, you're always dead on with everything. Seriously, dead on with everything. All right, whip around.
Right.
Andrea, what do you want to know?
August 11th
Kay.
Is my birthday.
What do you want to know, Andrea?
I want to know if this will be a good year career-wise.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Open-ended question.
Mm-hmm.
Radio or TV?
Oh, either.
Something's breaking loose for you sometime around in July. So kind of keep that time frame in check. Now, that you could have some indications of it prior, but it's almost like July, there's, you know, it's formulated.
Ooh.
So, but yeah, really, really good.
Oh, like movement in July.
Yeah.
I'm writing this down.
All right.
Yeah.
Carm?
Thank you.
It may be that it's scheduled for something, say, in around the fall or October. But July is the alignment time.
I like it. Is this radio or television?
I can't tell.
Oh.
It's blurred.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Thank you, Denise. Yeah. That's great.
That's great news.
Yeah.
All right, Carm, is this career or your sex life?
We're going sex life. August 11th, also same as Andrea. I'm wondering, will I be dating the love of my life by the end of this year?
Wow.
We got to go for the whole thing.
Is this the year?
It's the year.
What? Okay.
Now, hang on, though, because it looks like this may have a connection in August. So, but you'll start crossing paths or making this, you know, how synchronicity falls into place, you know, and like, say, March or April, but it won't be real clear. You know, is she just being nice? Are they?
Does he know this girl?
Yeah, but I don't think he can see her as a potential.
Ooh,
she's in your life.
It's a sneaky one, you know.
The old sneaky one.
I like this.
Oh, I like that too.
But yeah, so you'll start crossing paths in the spring, and then you'll be like, I don't know, is she just being nice or what's going on? And then and then by August, it's like, oh, she's not going anywhere. This is cool. Yeah, and then you're more in tune with one another at that point.
The summer love.
I feel better.
I like this.
I like
this.
This
is good. Congratulations. Do we get invited?
Absolutely.
Denise,
are you kidding me? Table one.
Is it cool that Mark and I have the same birthday?
Same month,
same day, same year.
Yeah, that's
so we're
crazy.
All Leos right here. No wonder we get along so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do signs get along with other signs? I mean, the same sign?
Yeah, I find that if they understand each other.
Okay.
And a lot of times when people are, you know, date and they say, oh, you shouldn't date your same sign, you know, well, that's not true at all. It can be very, very easy to work with somebody because they have the same vibration as you. So you kind of, you know, they know. You know,
it's a good vibe this week in the studio.
It's a great vibe. Yeah. Are there two signs who should just stay away from each other?
That's a good question. I would say probably Leos and Geminis.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Leos and Geminis.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Is your wife a Gemini?
She's a Cancer.
Oh, she's
good with Cancer.
Oh, we saw the Cancer, like, 25 years ago.
Yes, she did.
And boy, the girl he was dating at the time wasn't real happy
with
me.
She was a nutbag. Denise is like,
Gemini.
You're going to meet a Cancer. This was way before I even knew my wife.
She's blonde.
She's like, that's the one.
And the girl he was dating had dark hair, and then she accosted me at Maria's started hollering at me. It was crazy.
Psychic Denise Gazzardo in studio. Before we take calls, I want you to explain again Mercury retrograde, because everything's backwards, which is could be a good thing. And I want you to give the Sylvester Stallone example, because Stallone finally sold Rocky during Mercury retrograde.
That's a great story. And Jackie, his mother, was an astrologer as well. So, you know, he pitched that story and pitched it, and nobody wanted to touch it. They thought it was stupid. We're not doing it. And then he got a call during a Mercury retrograde, like 5 years later. And so he calls his mom and he goes, what should I do? You know, should I try to delay it till, you know, the Mercury retrograde lasts 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So she's like, no, get in there now. It will reverse the whole dynamic. Sometimes if we've had a house that's been for sale for 2 years and we're like, I gotta get out of here, you get an offer on a Mercury retrograde where it's usually don't sign papers and things of that nature. And no, you know, when
this is a good thing.
Yeah. You get an offer on the house during Mercury retrograde, it's going to go. So it's actually good, especially if there's been a long dragged out delay.
So if you've been trying to get a job for years and suddenly something comes up right now during this 3 week window, you got to take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Psychic Denise Guzzardo in studio with us. You can find her on Facebook under Psychic Denise Guzzardo or call her at 815-398-3983. Let's go to Dawn. Dawn, what's your birth date?
Hi, good morning. My birth date is 7/1/1962.
And what would you like to know?
Well, this past year has been, I've gone through so many different personal ups and downs, more downs than anything. It's been very chaotic, and I was just hoping that the next year is maybe gonna kind of level things out for me.
All right. I'm picking up that some like loved ones around you where there were some illnesses and some,
oh my god,
and some losses here, and it's just like it really has been one thing after another for you.
My mom is very sick with cancer, as a matter of fact, and she was diagnosed in July, and we've been, it's been really tough, and I live out of state, and I've been trying to manage my own personal life and be able to go, come back to Illinois and see when I can, and you got that completely right.
Well, things will stable out for you in 2017. There's better news. There's new opportunities, and a possibility of an upgrade sometime around the summer in a work situation that feels good to me. But yeah, things should stabilize. There also seems to be a new baby coming into the picture for your family, your loved ones.
Oh,
looks like a little girl. So that'll kind of break up this, you know, it'll lighten the heaviness,
mm-hmm,
that you went through. And
I
sympathize. I know what it's like to take care of a parent that's not well. So, yeah, most definitely.
Thank you, Dawn. 312-981-7200, Psychic Denise Guzzardo in studio. Take a look at 2017. She can help you with that. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. 952, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Psychic Denise Guzzardo in studio with us. Her phone number is 815-398-3983. And you can find her on Facebook. Just search for Psychic Denise Guzzardo. We need to ask you about your son, Jordan, who used to work here at WGN Channel 9. Now he's working for CNN.
Yes, he started at the CNN here Bureau in Chicago. And then the beginning of last year, January 1st, he left and drove out to Santa Monica, and he's working for CNN in Los Angeles.
I remember when he was like 6 years old, and now he's an Emmy
Award-winning
cameraman
studio,
for CNN Network.
I worked with him at CLTV and Channel 9. He is crazy talented.
Thank you.
He really is.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, he's awesome.
When I went to the Emmy Awards a few years ago, he did the camera work for Tom Skilling, and they won an Academy Award. They won an Emmy Award, and when he went up and accepted, I got choked up. I'm like, I knew this kid when he was six.
He's such a cute guy.
Yes.
I know. Helped raise him.
So good for you. Let's go to Jan. Jan, what's your birth date?
Hi, it's 6/1/39.
And what would you like to know from Denise?
I have to make a major purchase this coming year or before, in a short time, car purchase. And I was just wondering, due to the chaotic life I've had in the last 2 years, wondering what 2017 is going to hold for me.
Okay. Don't buy anything until after the 8th of January.
Is that Mercury retrograde?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
January 8th.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because
just wait a week.
Yeah. Mercury rules transportation vehicles. So yeah, because you may buy it and then January 9th go, oh, I made a mistake. So just wait till after the 8th. It feels like you find the right fit. And there's been a lot of frustration and tears going on here this past few weeks here. And just give yourself a little bit of breathing room here. Your guardian angels are guiding you in the right direction. They've got you covered. And sometimes tests aren't easy to move through, but we will all see a visible improvement once 2017 hits.
Okay, let's go to Benjamin. Benjamin, what's your birth date? You're on with Psychic Denise Gazzardo on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Hi, how you doing? Good morning. My birthday is January 20th, 1966.
Hi there.
What do you want to know?
Hi. What's going on is this last year was pretty chaotic for me. I lost a job, or I changed job, not by choice, of course. And had to go through a bankruptcy and the whole nine yards. And I'm just kind of asking, what's 2017 looking like?
We're going to see some relief here. If you're watching on CLTV, you'll notice that Denise kind of stares into the abyss. Is that a voice coming to you, or
yeah,
what happens?
Right.
Okay.
It is. And the job that you grabbed, you kind of feel like you jumped from the frying pan into the fire. Is that how you feel?
Not so much, but I mean, it's a challenge. It's a new challenge. It's okay. Less money, but, you know, it's a challenge.
Okay. All righty. Well, there's additional room for you there once you get your sea legs. And it feels like if you can just sort of complete the tasks you're supposed to, you know, get through, like sometime around March, they have a better fit for you, which it appears would give you more income or opportunity for. So kind of look to March for that. And then the place you're at is going to begin to feel like home.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Ben. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
This is the thing about WGN. I feel like we blink our eyes and the show's over.
I know.
Yes. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
So people can call you and just schedule an appointment and get a reading for 2017.
That's right.
People want to know mostly about finances and jobs, right?
And love.
Okay. And love. Well, yeah. Mark's got love. Mm-hmm. Andrea and I both want the job
thing. The gig thing.
Right. Okay. Well, I didn't want to ask about love because I didn't want to take Mark's thunder. I know that's kind of...
Are we going to see love with Andrea in 2017?
Really? You don't sound sure, Denise. Oh, we'll have to talk
for
the air.
For the TV audience, she's saying yes.
Head went right down.
All right. It's all right, Denise. Thank you.
815-398-3983. Psychic Denise Gazzardo. You can find her on Facebook. I love you. Thanks for coming in. Happy New Year.
No problem. No problem. Thank you so much.
It's 720 WGN and CLTV. This has been a fun week. We still have one more day.
This
we're back tomorrow.
I'm chaining myself to you guys after the show tomorrow. I will not leave you. Be prepared.
Okay.
Tomorrow we eat Spam, the Spamorama, the big show. And Jeremy Ronick will join us. JR, talk Blackhawks again. All right, you guys have a great day. Elizabeth Alfano is coming up next. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. News with Don Norton. Don?